Order, what's happening? This is the Maniacal Man's Kyle Smith speaking from the future about the past and the present. Friends, we got them. You got them. Keep them close. Pray up. Meditate. Think about what's next in life. What's your goals? Where you trying to go? Trying to get somewhere. Chase them dreams, man. Listen up and enjoy these words. You can follow me at Maniacal Minutes on Instagram, maniacalminutes.com. That's ManiacalMenace.
To another edition of Tell Me a Joke, the guy out of Chasing the Dream. How's everybody doing today? Goddammit. Oh man, I finally made my trips around the world, okay? And I've made it back to New Orleans, of course, down here with the one, the only, none other than Papa Bear. I don't know your name, Adam. We're just gonna say Adam today. the man of many aliases.
I don't even know what I was supposed to say after all that. That was a lot. We can go with Adam Santino. That's the common vernacular for me. I don't really respond well to Buck Light. Not that I'm mad about it, but it's always weird to me because there's people that they know me as Buck Lightning.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's just a silly thing that I came up with. Like, yeah. I didn't expect you to call me that as a person or have that in your phone.
Yeah, it's shit. I have a whole era where my college days where people just know me as Flip. So when I run into those people, mm-hmm. like that's all they would call me is "What up, Flip?" And so you.
Now, what's funny about that is I'm assuming that's because you used to do flips.
Yes,
but,
it is.
But as you are a comedian, Flip Wilson, one of the first major black comedians.
Uh-huh. Yep, well, you think about that now. Didn't think about that at that time.
No, you would have been very young. Because I'll be honest with you. I know Flip Wilson's name. I've never seen any. I know it's online. You can find some old Flip Wilson stuff.
Yeah. Huh.
You know.
I was it's like, as soon as you said Adam Santino, it made me think of Adam Sandler, which...
very different.
Yes, it is. There's a lot of older comedians and stuff that are trying to come back onto Netflix and mm-hmm. such, and giving out these specials that they think I don't know who they expected to pertain to, but it's mm-hmm. just like, oh, this is what the people want to see right now. I guess let me just put this out.
I know, yeah. Rob Schneider has, is it Netflix? I think it's
Netflix.
Showtime. Okay, it's Netflix.
It's Netflix. Yeah.
I will say this. You know what I've been watching lately? Well. Things pop up on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's one thing. It's good sometimes and it's bad sometimes. Just things will pop up on YouTube. Like, I didn't ask you for this.
No, I didn't.
But, what is it? Lights Out with David Spade.
Yeah.
And I'll be honest, like, he does a little bit, like, he does a few jokes. Yeah, I mean, it's a late night host position.
I've never watched it, but I've always wanted to be like, what, just to see what it is.
So they have the clips on YouTube. It's not the whole episode. Mm-hmm. And I know why it popped up for me, because I'm a huge Norm Macdonald fan.
Yeah.
And he did a tribute to Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had Dennis Miller, Norm Macdonald, and Kevin Nealon on. And, he was doing the, because he does the, like, you know, mostly when you're doing late night, they'll have the host, and the host is always like an old comic, mm-hmm. you know, like Leno used to be a beast back in the day, but now he's like, you know, like Mr. Late Night. But they would usually come out, and then the guests would come up, but the way he does it is the guests are sitting there watching him. So if it's like some, you know, I don't know, Brad Pitt or something, Brad Pitt ain't going to say nothing.
Right.
But he starts doing stand-up in front of Norm MacDonald, and is, yeah. they're just heckling him on stage. But it was like, the thing I was trying to get to was, like, you know, it's a version of stand-up, but I was like, actually, he's pretty funny. Like, he's got his you could tell he hasn't lost much. I don't think he was ever going to be, like, one of the great stand-ups. Mm-hmm. But, like, I had to give Spade credit. He had a couple jokes that made me laugh, even though he didn't write. It's late night. Somebody else wrote them.
Last night, they had a show that came on. It was on Bounce, mm-hmm. I believe. And it was, I forget, the comedians, Clash Comedians or something like that. I don't know. Basically, where they had a panel of, mm-hmm. like, a few comedians. Jack Caparello was one of them. Jimmy Dore was another one. Mm-hmm. I think that's... And Deion Cole. And they had this chick that was on there. I don't know who she was. But it was... Like, being a comic, you understand what's happening. Like, to other people, they just think it's just a normal... They would probably just see it as a normal conversation. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's basically, like, the host, he was just volleying up their bits. Mm-hmm. He was just like, boom, okay, here's how your bit enters. Mm-hmm. So, boom, I give that keyword, and bang, you just rattle off on your bit. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it just worked like that. But it wasn't a conversation, because it was just like...
It was very inorganic.
Yeah, he said one thing, and then, boom, they went on their little rant. Mm-hmm. Basically, they did their bit.
Was it as bad? Because, like, back in the day, like, you know, people don't... The way comedy interacts with late night doesn't exist. Like, we're in a really weird transition where media is changing, like, almost daily. Mm. You know, but back in the day, what would happen is, like, if you were going on Johnny Carson or Arsenio Hall, whoever, they would have the guest book or whatever his name is. He would call you and be like, okay, give me four things you want to talk about.
Right.
And they would write that, you know, so, like, you know, Carson would be like, so I understand that you like cars or something, you know, and uh-huh. you would be like, or so I hear that there's a story about you at a birthday party, and it would be super inorganic.
Yeah.
But it was it was just how people did things, and you just watch because you know, and that's the thing is, like, when you watch as a comedian, you're watching on a couple different levels. You want to laugh, but you're also observing their behavior.
Yeah.
You know, whereas, like, most people, they're not paying that much attention. They don't care. You can introduce the bit inorganically as long as you make them laugh. They don't
yeah.
care.
And that's, you know? That's basically all it was going. But it got what really set with me was, like, Jack Caparello. Yeah. His bits were very long and drawn out. And it's just like,
I'm not correcting you to be a jerk. I'm just making sure. Are you talking about John Caparulo? Yeah,
there you go. That one.
Okay. The dude that got into it with everybody at the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have one of his albums. It's funny, but, like, you know, some of these dudes, they got one in them. You know, yeah. I don't know if he's that guy or not.
But I haven't seen much of him since. Mm-hmm. Like I said, but I've seen him on here. And he's just
I heard, like, he burned a lot of bridges. I know him and Joey Diaz apparently have some sort of feud.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I've heard some rumblings about him as well. I haven't really gotten into it because I've seen one of his albums, and I'm like, all right, it's pretty silly. I've heard him on, like, Spotify or some shit. Not Spotify.
I think that's where I got it, too.
Yeah, I heard him some... it was on some... But anyway, like, he was on there, and as I'm listening to him, I know he's doing his bit, and it's just like, all right, man, no one to cut it off, you know? It's like, this ain't... There's four other people on here, dude. There's four other people on mm-hmm. here, man. Like, everybody's gonna get their chance. Like, no one to cut it off. Like, Jesus.
Do you remember Dat Fan?
Yeah, I love Dat Fan.
I did too. I saw him in Harrah's years ago, because Harrah's, I know they have a new thing now with a theater and all that, mm-hmm. but they used to have a upstage area where they had an actual stage, and they would have bands, and occasionally they'd have comedians. I saw Dennis Miller there. He was really good. But the first one I went to was... Somehow or another, I ended up with four free tickets to Dat Fan.
Dat Fan.
I don't know how. And this was, like, right after Last Comic Standing. So that was his day, you know?
Yeah.
He got, like, a rewarded with a tour that had, like, 500 people at Harrah's New Orleans, you know? Wow. And I saw him, like, and he was hilarious. Like, yeah. I won't lie. Like, he was really good. That but then was I funny. Then I saw him, I don't know if it was Tough Crowd with Colin Quinn. I think it was.
Okay.
Because it was very similar to the old Politically Incorrect setup. And every bit was him, like, doing his mama's voice.
Yeah.
And it was just like, oh. Right. Oh, that's it, man. That's
nothing else.
Like, and he's sitting there with, like, you can't sit there with Colin Quinn and, what's his name? Greg Giraldo and, like, people like that. And, oh, your boy that died. Big Black Dude. Patrice. Yeah. You can't sit there with Patrice.
Ooh,
and do that.
Him. He's there with the big boys.
I think Patrice might have been. I'm not 100%, but you can't. But they always had like at least two killers.
Yeah.
And like, and these guys, they've been around. They've been all around the earth. They didn't do Last Comic Standing. They just built their way up.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't do that.
No.
And it's you feel bad for him because you're like, dude, it's not like you're not funny, but you're not working at it.
No,
you're like the kid that knew how to draw in school, and he never bothered to actually go to school to learn the technique. He was just like, "Oh no, I'm the best," you know.
Jesus, yeah, I know he was good, but it seems like you would hear more from him, or you would see him constantly doing some more shit. But yeah, that has been it for that fan. Like that fan came and went, and it's like, oh, you know, he could be doing. I don't even know. He's not even on the radar anymore.
Well, I mean, he's not famous anymore. I remember him because I saw him on stage. Because I didn't watch Last Comic Standing. Mm. I just remember him because he had funny bits. But
they I heard this talked about before about that next Asian ethnic comic that always comes out. Always doing their
what was the last
voice.
One Aziz
no
Aziz never did his parents voice. I know what you're saying, and I know there's been people like that, but most of them don't stick out that much.
No, they don't. It doesn't happen, because once you see it, once you notice it, especially I notice that shit heavy now. Mm. And it's just like, oh shit, that's the route you're trying to take to get in.
You know who does it and is still around? He does Corolla all the time.
Joe Coy. Yeah.
And I don't find Joe Coy that funny.
I enjoy Joe Coy. Mm-hmm. I enjoy Joe Coy. But I notice what's happening. I notice you notice what it is, and it's just like, oh, that's you. Okay, you're trying to branch out, but it still evolves around you doing your mama. You being your,
you're too afraid your to take risks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, he has the jokes and stuff, but
I'm not even disparaging him. I'm just saying, like, I've noticed he, to be fair, most of the times I've heard him, it's on Corolla, and Corolla does this thing where I haven't listened to Corolla in years, but he would do this thing every time Joe Coy was on. He would be like, do the bit. Do the same bit every time because he loves the bit. Meanwhile, your audience is just like, and I'm sure, to a degree, because Joe Coy is successful, so to a degree, he's probably also like, come on, man, let me do something else, because, like, this is not, you know, this ain't
every
helping.
Time. Jesus. Yeah. Yeah, no, it doesn't help at all. Yeah. But, you know, hey, when you look at it like that, when you're able to see it, it looks, it's like, oh, this is icky. You don't, you have no other outlet, like. You don't know that you can be yourself without having to be this person.
Right.
You know, but...
But again, you're also looking at it from the artist's perspective. The average person don't care. If they stop laughing at the bit, they just stop laughing at the bit and they just move on with their lives. Whereas you're looking at it as like, I don't want to be that.
Yeah.
Like, you can't do that.
I don't want to be stuck. Yeah. And that makes you... That makes you look into it deeper with the people that have been stuck in that that character, like Larry the Cable Guy, and you also got...
He's still making money off that, though.
Very much
and to
so.
Be fair to him, that wasn't his first character. Mm. Like, he had like four or five, and that was just the one that people were like, oh, okay, this is funny. And then, you know, they did the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, and that just... That was mad money. And I don't blame him. You know, Witless Protection is on like HBO right now. Huh. And I try watching it and it's like a vomit scene. I was like, ugh. It was a movie the other day. It was hilarious. Oh, Here Comes the Boom with Kevin James.
Oh, okay.
I really like that movie. Yeah. It's not hilarious. It's funny. You know, it's got its moments. And Salma Hayek's breasts are amazing.
Yeah.
But there's a one vomit scene and I'm like, dude, can we stop with the vomit scenes? Like, if you're not 10, it ain't funny no more. You know, it just grosses me out seeing a grown man vomit on another man's face.
Yeah, that's a fun way of looking at it. I've never thought about that. I'm like, oh, this okay, this is the point where he vomits. But it's true. How often do you see... It's not often that somebody wants to put vomit in. And usually, I always look at that. I'm like, oh, how they going to throw up? You know, what are they going to throw up? Are they going to throw up chunks, or is it going to be smooth? Or are they going to show him throw up?
Come on, man. I got to eat later.
You know, I've always wanted to know. But the thing is, when they wipe their mouth, what is it going to be on there?
But you have time to think about that because it's never a surprise. They always cue it up like, oh, he's eating something. And he'll make a comment like, my stomach's grumbling. And you're like, oh, at some point he's going to throw up.
Yeah.
You know, and he's just like, it ain't necessary. Just cut it out.
That makes me think deeply about vomit scenes now, because there's a thing about them, because it all depends, like from The Exorcist, you know, it's like just a spray of projectile. It's just what makes them think of, I guess, what she's eating.
Is that movie scary to you, or is it funny?
I couldn't really tell you, actually, to be honest with you. Now it's just like...
But when you saw it, like...
Then, back then, I was like, this is weird. This is a really mm-hmm. fucked up movie. I don't know if I was actually scared, because mm-hmm. I think I might have been in a time where it wasn't as scary to me. Mm-hmm. But most shit, I wasn't really scared of most things as a child anyway. Not when it came to scary movies. I really couldn't tell you if I had many nightmares.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rare that, you know, scenes of things popping out usually mm-hmm. would scare people. I kind of wait for it, because I remember mm-hmm. when I used to be, like, I used to jump from certain shit like that, mm-hmm. and now I wonder...
You know the trick.
Yeah. So now I wonder in certain movies mm-hmm. if they're going to finagle it in a way to where it's going to get me to fucking shrug my shoulders just a little bit or something. Mm-hmm. You know, so... Like, when it comes to really frightening movies, because I really try to judge a movie to see how scary it's going to be, depending on the rating. If, like, PG-13 mm-hmm. and it's supposed to be a really scary movie, I'm very skeptical mm-hmm. of how scary a PG-13 movie. When it comes to rated R, and it's like, okay, if it's rated R, what is it going to be that's going to be scary? Is it going to be gore? Like, or is it gonna be like monsters popping from behind shit? Mm-hmm. Like, what type of scary are we talking about?
How do you ever enjoy scary movies then?
I don't, mostly because I'm a high critic when it comes to right. Like, I want to know how you gonna scare me. Like 13 Ghost.
Okay.
13 is it 13 Ghost? 13.
Yeah, it's always 13. But yeah, there's a movie called 13 Ghost. Yeah.
Right. With Dax Shepard, that was.
I never saw it.
But oh,
it was,
and Monk? The dude? Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Tony Shalhoub?
Yeah, Tony Shalhoub. Yeah. That movie.
The great Tony Shalhoub.
Oh, I'm sorry. The great Tony
Shalhoub. Hey, man, he was in Galaxy Quest. Like, man. Like, among many other things.
He's amazing. He's that actor. He's like the guy that played, I see that you took my stapler. He's that guy?
You're talking about Stephen Root.
Ah, that motherfucker, the man. These are men of many faces.
It's funny when people think, most people think of like Office Space with Stephen Root.
Yeah,
I'm a big News Radio fan.
True Blood for me.
Oh, he was in True Blood.
Yeah,
you should see News Radio.
I want to see News Radio. I haven't.
When's the next time you come back to town? Because I'll loan you the DVDs, because I haven't watched them in a while.
Oh, you got the DVDs? I've
hell yeah, I got the dude. That is the best. I mean, I don't want to build it up because everybody has it, but like for me, that's the best sitcom of all time. It was in the 90s, like forget, like everybody was watching Friends. I like people
yeah, are watching. I did not watch Friends. I don't know how I missed. Why was that one of the things that I missed?
Not many people watched. It also skipped around.
Oh, okay.
The reason I brought up though, when you mentioned
Tony Shalhoub.
No, not Tony Shalhoub.
Dax Shepard.
No, the
not that guy.
No, when we were talking about vomiting, The Exorcist.
Yeah,
I was just curious because I saw it when it re-released in theaters in the early, either late 90s or early 2000s. I had never seen it before. Yeah. I don't like horror movies. I don't like people jumping out at me.
Okay.
Like, I'm just not that guy. Like, it's, you know, I mean, I know you're not gonna kill me, but like, I don't like people jumping out at me.
Mm.
You know, but I saw it with some friends and it was a packed theater. And I was the only person laughing. But, like, you know, you got the little girl with a cross, and she's like, fuck my pussy, yeah, fuck my pussy. Yeah.
I'm watching this for those scenes now.
And what it makes me think of is, you know, that line from Bare Naked Ladies. Like, there's nothing else I relate to more than this. I'm the kind of guy that laughs at a funeral. Like, that's me if you had to, like, isolate a song lyric. That's me. I'm the kind of guy who laughs at a funeral, you know? And, but people were mad.
I mean, that now, especially when you look at it now, it's like, oh man, she's really going to feel that tomorrow. Like, when she's not possessed anymore, she's going to be like, what the fuck did I do to myself yesterday? Then we played the take back and like, you vigorously.
And then she's going to need BBC, you know, as she gets older, because... You know, I mean, she really cleared out some space there, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
That was a big cross.
That's... I always think about that. I'm like, man, that's fucked up. Now, when you leave her body, you're going to leave with she's going to feel that. She's definitely going to feel that. You're going to have to get it. That's a high doctor bill right there. Now, all of this, like, there's repercussions.
I don't think that's on your insurance. I don't think doctors cover
possessions.
Possessed masturbation? What would that even be?
Or just bodily injury? Would that be considered?
Is active devil underneath act of God?
Huh. It should be. Acts of God, that should be, well, I mean, it's some type of spiritual act. So.
And if you believe in God, then God created everything. So God created the devil. And so everything should be permissible.
Well, that thought, so she should be able to get, she should be able to get treated.
Freely? I think so. That's my problem with American, you know, healthcare is that a little girl's been masturbating with a cross, can't get, you know, proper treatment, and is going to have an itchy pussy for the rest of her life.
How old was she supposed to be when that happened? In the movie.
Let's say for like as close to non grossness as possible. Let's go for 12.
She was
as close to not. It's still gross,
right?
But you know
that this is what they wrote into the movie. Like, this is what we're gonna have her do. And now when you think about it, it's like, man, this is a little girl doing this to herself.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, man,
but that's what was supposed to make it scary. And it depends. Everything in life depends on your perspective and the way you view things. But
when you think about it, it's like, why that route? Could we have taken it another way to still get up?
Well, think about it. If she was like a 16-year-old girl, they wouldn't have thought she was possessed. They were just like, your daughter's a bitch. Don't act like you ain't never seen a 16-year-old girl act like that.
At 12, this is some fucked up shit and something needs to happen because, you know, this is Catholicism, and such, yada, yada.
You ever seen like a like cunty 16-year-old girl? And you're like, you know, if your head started spinning, I wouldn't be surprised.
Ah, like, that's funny. And then you know what? Because I was always in the comedy and shit. What scares me the most are children in movies, children ghosts and shit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were just being random. Like,
oh, no.
Like
no,
you watched Little Rascals, you were like, oh, I can't watch this shit no more.
No. Children ghosts in the movie. Children ghosts and the people that do the crab walk backwards upstairs and on ceilings and shit.
I've only seen that in Exorcist.
I don't watch
that many.
Oh, yeah. If you watched like The Ring or something when the chick came out.
She did do that stuff.
Yeah, that shit.
Did you ever see the one with Nicole Kidman? And the two kids. I can't remember what the name of it was, but the gimmick was, spoilers, but this is like a 20-year-old movie now, a 15-year-old movie. She's in a house with her two children, and it's haunted. But then at the end of the movie, it's like Sixth Sense. It turns out that her and the kids were dead the whole time.
Oh, yeah, I have seen that. Darkness or something like that?
I don't remember what it's called. That's on HBO, too, right now. I don't watch it, though.
Yeah, That's what.
Is it because the children itself creeps you out, or you don't like the thought of children
dying? No, children is what most just creep me out. Just to have a little dead kid in your face. It's like, oh man, you know, that is just. It's highly fucked up. You know, that's what fucks me up the most. But it was something else I was about to say before I got onto telling you.
I'm sorry, I'm bad for that, you know.
I know. It always brings me to the point where I was like, ah, that's what I was going to say. But I'm not going to remember until I go get daggers with my mama. And that's going to make me upset. But yeah, it's fucking scary movies and shit. God damn it.
Well, I got a couple. Have you been listening to Rogan lately?
Yeah.
You know, there's all these you know, crazy, like, far-left people are like, oh, he's a right-wing cult leader and stuff like that. And I'm always like, that's stupid. But I think he might be, because now I like Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus is awesome. I enjoyed that.
I didn't expect it.
No?
Yeah,
I kind of could have assumed as much.
She just seem like the kind of person I'd be into.
Oh man, just her thought process of how she expects to market herself, and just the kind of not give a fuck attitude. Yeah, I fucks with Miley. I'm like, all right, that's what's up.
All I ever see is the dumb shit she does. Like,
that's all the media wants you to see, though. They want you to see her fucking up.
That's true, but she also... No. I'm talking about just her regular life, where she... Yeah. Like, I'm a shave half my head and hang for... I do like the Wrecking Ball song. That's a good song.
Yeah, that's a good song.
But you get what I'm saying.
She's a child star, man. You gotta...
It's never been that. I understand, like... You know, like, the stuff that they put those kids through... You know, I get it. Like, I don't have any point of reference for that. I just didn't expect to actually be like, I like this. Like, when Rogan goes like, oh, Molly, you should do your own YouTube series. I was like, I'd watch that.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that would be.
But yeah, no, so I think Rogan might be a cult leader, because, like, I like Molly.
Yeah, you're on board. Yeah, so, hey, that's... Sure. That's what it takes. Hey, motherfuckers are going to goddamn Austin. Motherfuckers are jumping ship. He has scattered things, man. It's gonna be weird once things settle. Once the dust settles and motherfuckers start popping out and shit, things have shifted.
But people like that will create their own home. You know, I know there's talk of some of them going to Denver.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, Denver's got a huge, like, comedy area. I heard Theo Vaughn is not coming back to Louisiana. He's going to Nashville. Which we've talked about this. Like, Theo Vaughn, I heard his special. I didn't.
They say you got to look past the special. You just got to see the guy himself.
Then you shouldn't have put that out that special.
Yeah.
If that's going to be for people's first major exposure to. You know who I like that's in Nashville? Have you seen Nate Bergazzi?
Yeah. You know who I fucks with? Have you seen Ian Baggs?
No.
Oh, man, that motherfucker boggles your mind.
Is he on Netflix too?
He's on. He's on Amazon.
Amazon. Well, if you can't send me a link.
I've seen Nate Bergazzi.
Because Nate had a Netflix special that I've actually watched it a couple times. I was very amused. You'll have to send me the other guy. You told me to check out Ron Funches.
Yeah.
Because I had only seen him on that show, Undateable, with Chris D'Elia, which you're not supposed to talk about now, because Chris D'Elia's in trouble.
He has been dragged. I'm like, son, you did some shit.
Well, speaking of Rogan, you heard that one of the people that they took the episodes down was Chris D'Elia's, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a few things that they took down off of Spotify.
Yeah, but D'Elia's the only one that's like, well, there's a couple that people are like, why would you take that person down? Well, it's still on regular. I just downloaded a bunch of episodes. But, because some of that catalog might be going away by the end of the year. But you told me to check out Ron Funches. Because we talked on camera and then we talked privately. Mm-hmm. And I've been telling you, like, was a state of the world, and I pay attention to politics. I hate it, but I pay attention to it. But the last thing I want in comedy, like, and the thing that I'm afraid of, and especially if Trump wins, is like, you know, whether you're a comedian, and comedians tend to be more intelligent than most movie stars, you know, and regular celebrities, yeah. But even so, like, I don't need you telling me how to vote. I don't need you telling me your thoughts on whatever. Like, make me laugh. Put the joke first. Mm-hmm. You know? That's why so many people can't do political comedy, because when you make an art, the art has to come before whatever your point is. Because especially when you're telling jokes, because laughter is a difficult thing. It's not easy to make people laugh, at least not consistently. But when you're putting a joke before, putting the politics before the joke, it ain't funny.
Nah.
You know? Because you're not worried about being funny. You're worried about telling people what you think. Yeah, you know? Told me, like, Ron Funches, he don't do that.
No. He was also on Rogan, too. Mm-hmm. In which I was like, all right, he's making the pop and starting to boom. It's going to start to take off, because he was one of the trolls on Trolls. He's also in the new that new show on Netflix, Hoops. He's the black guy on Hoops. There's that new show.
I haven't heard of Hoops.
Yeah, it's a new show to where they're just having cartoons be extra vulgar, and it that right there
is
like
it
a whole nother lane. It's like, damn, man. All right, I mean, I'll see where it goes, but it's like to the point to where
it's not like Big Mouth, is it?
Yeah, it's kind of really like Big Mouth. Like you just over.
I'm not just over it.
Exaggeratingly,
here's the thing:
being foul mouth.
I'm a free speech absolutist, but Big Mouth shows you like little girls' pussies.
Well, I don't know if it's like that to where, but it's just.
No, I'm just saying, like that kind of stuff. Like, we don't need that.
Oh yeah,
I don't know why that's. Why is that on Netflix?
They go ham, but it gets around to that. If you ever seen Seth Rogen's little cavalcade of comedy or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think I'm getting two things mixed up, like Hannibal Buress and Seth Rogen. But he had this little show.
they definitely taking away your black card.
Hannibal Buress cavalcade of comedy. And
okay.
There's Seth Rogen. Seth Rogen had this thing.
Smorgasbord of sausage.
Something where he had the cure for cancer. Not the cure for cancer, but it was like a fundraiser.
Okay.
For cancer or something like that.
Something that they did in the last few months.
Yeah, and they had, I think it was like a few years ago, and they had the people that did Rick and Morty. They had them do a little segment that came on there. They put up a little segment, and I'm gonna just ruin it, because if you haven't seen it.
I don't like Rick and Morty anyway.
Oh, go ahead. If you haven't seen it, basically, what they had going on, they had a little clip of these dudes, these little boys in their room, like in front of a camera, doing some shit, and I think they're just basically they just standing in the room jangling their dick.
Well, see, it's funny when you put it that way.
So it's hilarious when you see it, because you don't expect it to happen. Like, at first, they're just fucking around. Mm-hmm. And then, at the end, it gets ramped up to where they end up as little boys jangling their dick. It's a cartoon. And you don't expect it to go that far, but then, blah, they hit you with it. And jangling their dick. And then one of them comes around and is like, yeah, you don't want to fuck with me. Yeah, I got this. And
do you see the dick?
Yeah. Yeah, they're showing it. It's a little.
I mean, I guess it's a cartoon.
But
so,
then it doesn't go. It doesn't stop there. The other little boy comes around. And is like, yeah, what? You don't like this? And then proceeds to open his ass and show his butthole as they're doing this. And then they're like, yeah, maybe we should put this out. Son, it's wild, dude.
Yeah, because like this is a benefit for cancer.
Oh, son. You think about that. It's like. Why is this what you... Why do we have to go this far to get the gag? Like, why is it... Like, you don't... I mean, South Park does it tastefully. You know? Uh-huh. Like, you... What they're doing here...
South Park's
like,
one of the smartest comedies ever been written, though.
People
don't get it, but, like, they are.
Yeah. That's what I like about it, because they don't just blatantly... I mean, some of it shit's blatant, but that's funny. Mm-hmm. But this shit, it's just like, Oh, y'all just the new it's on Hulu, that all of that space cartoon show by Seth Rogen, I believe, with it.
I don't have Hulu.
I don't have Hulu either, but it they had the commercials for it.
Okay.
Where the aliens come down and they fucking intermingle with the people and shit, and basically they're just down there to I don't understand, like, all right, I love when people go ham on the foul language. It's nice. Like that's cool with me, but
there still needs to be joke writing.
Yeah. Don't just say some shit just to be saying some shit because it's foul. Like it never coincides with what's supposed to be happening. I'm like, oh, you just put that there because you wanted him to say that just now.
You know what's a good example of that? That movie that was like the junior version of the movie with Jonah Hill and Michael Cera, Good Boys.
Oh, Good Boys, yeah.
Where it's just
like,
see, two kids cursing and two kids, and it's just like, and I tried watching it. It's not funny. Like, it literally is. I can't even think of the name of the movie, but it literally is the same movie.
Coffee and Kareem.
I know the movie you're talking about. No, it's not Coffee and Kareem.
No, but
which, by the way, sad, took me about 10 minutes to get that joke. I was just like, of course it's Kareem. Like, just as stereotypical, I was like, oh, Kareem. Okay. All right. I'll give it to you. That was funny.
Yeah.
But Good Boy, like, the thing is, like, it used to be, like, when you'd see a movie with Betty White and she's cursing, you're like, it's funny because it was shocking. But at this point, you done the bit too much.
Yeah.
It ain't funny no more. And I don't want to see little kids cursing. Honestly, like, it was funny at first, I won't lie.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, you got little nieces and nephews, and it, you know, when you see a little kid say, accidentally repeat that daddy said shit, inside, you're just like, don't.
Oh, really?
Don't.
Yeah.
You know, like you stop. But now, it's just too much. Stop it.
When you're overly doing it, is role models. Role models, I enjoyed. Because that little boy on there,
he was really good.
Yeah,
but there was also like heart to it,
right?
Like towards the end of it, you got like to see that he was just another little boy. It wasn't just like, oh, he's just a little foul mouthed little bastard, you know? Like there was an attempt to give it some sort of emotion,
right?
Yeah.
Because nowadays it's just overly, just it's too much, and I get it to the point to where I'm like, all right, man, what if my nieces and nephews all watching some of this shit?
Mm.
Like, what is the point of it? Like, what are you just, there's no message you're trying to get across. You're trying to be just overly offensive and funny at the same time, but it doesn't need to be all.
And if they see enough of it, they're like, oh, I guess that's what we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
People like that, right? They keep doing it.
I guess this is a foul trend world. And everybody just wants to do what everybody else is doing, but not what they want to do themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what makes other people stand out. The outliers. That's what makes you stand out. How long have you wanted to be a photographer?
Hard to answer question, believe it or not.
Oh.
Like, I didn't get it. I got into photography in 2002 when I was in the Disney College program.
Uh-huh.
You know, because, like, I went to college before that. Obviously, I was in the college program. But, like, UNO, University of New Orleans, if you're listening from, like, Texas or somewhere else, it's a commuter college, you know? Like, very few people live in the dorms there. So, like, it never felt like a community, you know? So, I mean, most of my friends were people that I were friends with from high school. So, but when I went to Disney College program, like, I was surrounded with all these people, and so I'd brought my mama's camera or something like that, and I was taking pictures, and you know, and I could tell that I had like a little bit of a I had an understanding of trying to think of the word not context composition, because when I was younger, you know, I was always into comic books. I wanted to be like, in my mind, I wanted to be like a big time comic book artist, but I knew I didn't have the talent. But I had been studying art my whole life, so I had an eye for composition. And so it just carried on from then. I was taking pictures, and then one day I was like, oh, I'll buy a professional camera. I didn't learn how to use it. Mm. You know? So, I mean, I've wanted to be a photographer probably like 14, 15 years now. But it's only in the last 2 or 3 years where I can say like, oh, I'm actually a decent photographer and I could reasonably charge people money to do this.
Yeah.
You know? And now it's just like looking at my future at the age of 41, I'm like, this is something I'm good at. Like, I want to find a way to make a run at it because I feel like you should do the things that you're good at. Uh-huh. Not necessarily, I always disagree when people like, if you do the things you love, you'll never work a day. No, you just turn something you love into a chore. But if you do something that you're good at, that you feel accomplished, and you know you're doing a good job, that's what you want.
Right.
Accomplishment, you know?
Yeah.
So... But you were you going somewhere with that? I'm sorry. No, I gave you a long-winded answer.
That's exactly what we needed right there. Okay. That's perfect. That's because you're striving to live out your mm-hmm. dream and to be successful from it. And that's basically what we all try to teach people or mm-hmm. just try to have other people learn lessons from because there's a process. You got to do it. And if you want to do it, you got to keep at it because it ain't mm-hmm. just going to come to you. And it's like, oh, this is what I want. And now it should... Now it should just be here. Now you gotta work towards it. And you know, you said you've been in this process for like 15 years now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't come easy, and it's never fun. It's never a fun process until it starts to pick the fuck up. But until then, mm-hmm. it's frustrating as shit. It's like, God damn.
For me, I'm only good at like really good at a certain number of things, and the majority of things that I'm good at that I understand a lot about. You can't really monetize, mm-hmm. you know. But like, I'm good with a camera and I'm good on mic, you know. For those of you listeners who've never met me or heard of me, you and I have talked about this a mm-hmm. bit. Like, I have a weird thing where like, I'm not really interested in being a stand-up.
No,
but I do. Have the brain of a stand-up.
Yeah. You got all the comedy knowledge, but without, right. like, from seeing it off stage, you know the mm-hmm. formula, but you don't do the stand-up at all.
I just don't get anything out of it, like, you know, but I do every once in a while go on stage.
You do have that nonchalant demeanor, though, just because that is your personality. So, which makes it funny when you are, to me at least, because I know you personally, uh-huh. when you are on stage, I'm like, well, y'all gonna feel offended, but that's just that nigga right there. That's just him.
So. I did, well, it's funny, like, and it annoys me when I see comedians that don't write, because I'm like, dude, yeah. if you had any idea how much stand-up I write in a year, but I don't write it down, mm-hmm. it's just in my head, and then it goes away, because, like, I'm probably not going on stage, there's no point in me writing it down, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, there's comedy everywhere, you know, just everywhere in life, and, like, if you ain't writing, like, why are you even in this game, you know? And so, the few times that I go on stage, like, I don't write material.
No.
Like I go up and I'm just like, oh, what do I want to talk about? All right.
I want to tell them about
A, B, C, and D. Oh, I better cut out C because people going to get mad. Yeah. You know? And people get mad anyway, so I don't know why I do that.
A and B is something that people get mad about. C is just like, you probably shouldn't say this because they're already mad since from A. They've been mad at A. So.
No, I try to go in easy. It's usually B. It's usually B that starts it off. But, you
towards
know,
the end of A is when it gets a little sketchy and it's like, where you going?
But there was a bit that I did, and I know you'll never forget, like, this might have been the last time I did stand up, was like hosting in Mississippi. And I had a bit that I actually cut down, like I cut off like the really messed up part of the joke. Because it was a true story about, like, me wanting to fight a little kid with Down syndrome.
Down's kid in the pool.
And the
lazy river.
Yeah. And the end of the bit, like, I had a line, and it's not going to be funny here, and I'm not making fun of kids with Down syndrome. But the line was, like, let's be honest, like, look, I know there's a big difference between mentally handicapped people and people with Down syndrome, but like, this kid was retard strong, you know, like it was something to that effect. And I was like, oh, you don't know who's going to be there. Like, cut that line off. Like, the rest of the story's messed up, but kind of funny in a shocking way. And, you know, and then I had
that they were old folks.
It wasn't. Well,
was that the old,
I guess they were old enough. They were old. The dudes looked pretty old. The women, I'd say, were probably in their mid-40s. So not super old. But yeah, the dudes looked like they were about 50. But the dudes thought it was funny. It was the women that were like,
"Yeah,
no, like, you didn't," you know. And then I had, and this is me to a T. Especially like I know better than to do this, but especially considering it was a hosting gig, I had an age joke that didn't have an end. But I went with it anyway.
No end. Let's just throw it in there and see how people feel.
I think I even ended like. Yeah, I don't know how the jokes ends, folks. I just wanted to throw it out. the look on that. And that woman wasn't even shocked. She was just mad. But that was the thing that was funniest for you was just like, because y'all could all see the look. Even from behind, y'all, like, you ever see somebody so mad that from behind you could see their rage?
Oh, you feel, you know? Feel the heat.
She was mad. Yeah. But then later on, like, the other people at the other tables were like, because one of the tables bought y'all all a drink. Like, they were like, oh, no, we love this. Like,
some people just want to get out and hear some obscene shit.
Uh-huh.
Some people just want that. I've noticed that as I've been out and I've done my slight traveling. But I've been to a place in Alabama. There's this winery that me and Krangus Gillespie. We went to fucking Christopher Gillespie. We went to this place in it was a wine place. And the people there, they was like, don't curse, don't be foul mouthed or nothing like that and all that. We was like, all right, you know, we got it, sure. So we went there, and they didn't, you know, the whole time, you know, we trying to watch what we say, being on our P's and Q's. But before the show even starts, they got these white ladies out there pinching asses and fucking drinking wine and shit and talking about their titties and all that because they fucked up. They've been there since they got off of preschool. They preschool teachers or some shit like that. And so they've been there since like 3. It's 7 now. And they got so many wine glasses outside. They're talking about ass cheeks and shit. Uh-huh. And they're like, oh, y'all coming to do the comedy? Fuck yeah. And they're like, yeah, but we supposed to be clean. They like, clean? Don't nobody want to hear that clean shit around here? We like, well, I mean, you know, we don't want to fuck nothing up because this is a nice place.
Not only that, but she ain't the one paying you.
She's not the one paying us. But the whole time we was there, I think one of the owners or some shit was sitting there in the crowd. And the whole time, like, when we go on, we was like, man, they want us to be clean. I mentioned it. I'm like, fuck that. You know, this ain't no behind the closed door shit. They like, they want us to be clean. They're like, no, I paid for this fucking show. If we come in here, you're going to be dirty, goddammit. This is the only time. This is the only time I was like, oh, okay. And so
your shirt and show me your dick.
I let him have a goddamn show. I didn't clean nothing up. But I try to hide some things.
What you should have done.
I don't say nigga as much. But
it's probably a smart choice. Yeah. What you should have done was kept the comedy clean and just came out in your underwear. And just did it like it was a strip show, like, oh, get these jokes. Yeah,
it'd be very awkward. But once
you might have made more money. They might have been throwing cash at you.
Well, no, they tipped heavily. They were very nice after that because they were just some old white folks that just wanted some unholiness. That was it. They just wanted somebody.
People just need to let loose and forget their problems. And I think that's the thing with. People take comedy too seriously these days. Is just like my favorite current comic is probably Tom Segura, and I saw him on Twitter yesterday. And it's don't get me wrong, it's a good thing, but he was tweeting about helping people in Lake Charles, and it's a good thing.
Ooh, I rode through Lake Charles to get here.
I've heard. Like a movie scene. I've heard, but the thing was like as much as I appreciated he is trying to help people. It's a part of me that was like, aren't you the dude that asked his daddy, like, how he put his dick in his mom? Like let's just keep it, you know?
Yeah, but he likes to torment his parents like that, which is, crazy because he has a very, very dry sense of humor. Mm-hmm. Like he has a low resting heart rate. so like when he
it's not a joke. His wife thinks he might be a sociopath.
Oh, definitely. A lot of people probably think Dr. Drew even thinks that shit. Uh-huh. And it is so crazy because like the morbid shit that he laughs at, mm-hmm. it's just like, yo, it makes me laugh too, but to a point that you're laughing so hard at it. That's what makes me laugh.
He is my favorite current comedian, like the current crop, you know?
Yeah.
But the stuff with the videos, I had a friend once, like, we're still friends. We've been friends since we were 13 years old.
Is he in the league?
Huh?
Is he in the league?
He is in Dude League. Yeah, oh, okay. Yeah.
I didn't know if you wanted to say it all or not.
No, I'm cool with it. Like, motherfucker, somebody tries to steal Dude League from me, I will come to your house and kill you. Like, I'll show you sociopath.
Dude League is something else.
It's been pretty tame lately.
Ah, has it?
Yeah, I think so, but
pretty sure that dude that got hit by that crane is dead.
Yeah, all right, yeah, that was a little above and beyond. That was, and I did post that thing about killing pedophiles. No, I remember when we were like 20. He was like, "Come here," and I was like, "What?" And this was when the internet was finally like taking off, and you know, like 98, 99, like something. I don't remember. He was like, I was watching this video of this dude getting his, like, dick reamed out with, like, a...
Reamed out?
Like, you know, like, one of those videos where they shove something up the shaft.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no. Fuck no. I was like, why are you watching that? He's like, I don't know, I just can't look away. I was like, I'm not looking at that. And that makes you wonder about somebody, like, motherfucker, I've slept next to you in a room when we were traveling.
It makes you wonder, it's like, why is this what you like to see, dude? You don't mind this? Like, he's getting his dick reamed?
Yes.
Out.
And I'm like, dude, like, am I going to wake up one night with you standing naked with a knife over me?
Oh,
like,
man.
What's, you know? And that's the kind of, that you got to wonder about people like that. That want to see some, like, sick-ass shit.
Oh, there's so many types of people in this world that some people that can go and look through that. I was talking about, they had this one dude that was down here that was a comic that, the people getting banned from the city, how the city is so nice that it's very hard to get banned, like, socially you get banned because you did some fucked up shit to where it's like, no, we not gonna let you back in the scene, kind of, sort of, not like it's a click or anything like that, but, you know, like, we, as a group down here, we stick together, and there's this one dude that he used to go off his rock a little bit from time to time. He used to talk about some crazy shit on stage. Mm-hmm. And it got to the point to where it's like he, like, certain bars and shit, certain mics wouldn't let him come in because of the shit that he would say. You know, very misogynistic type shit. Mm-hmm. Very, like, close to murder or rape type shit.
Kind of shit you might make the joke with your buddy, but you wouldn't necessarily want people to hear it.
Yeah, your buddy might be cool with your sense of humor, but not everybody. And it's some shit that you probably shouldn't bring to the stage.
Like, I'll make actual Nazi jokes about killing Jews, like, to my buddies, but, like, I wouldn't say it in public, not because, like, I'm a Nazi, because I'm like, I don't want people, you don't want some random person thinking that's what you actually believe. It's just, like, it's stress relief.
That there's all websites about black.
I probably shouldn't have said that, honestly.
But see, that's the thing. There's websites that have all these jokes that are just racial jokes for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but it's not something that you just show everybody. It's shit that you probably keep in between the office, you know, behind the scenes type shit, which is understood. But once you start coming out in the open and you start, like, letting everybody know this is what you do behind closed doors. Hey, you gotta understand that not everybody fucks with that, and it makes you a little strange, and you'll get ostracized. And, like, I've always was like, yo, this nigga energy is fucking wild. Like, I'm not, like, watch dude, you gotta watch him, because no clue what, he was in the military, so he's definitely got some type of PTSD. Mm-hmm. But once I seen this motherfucker on his Facebook, he decided to put as his profile picture himself fucking a chicken, like, and it's just like his son, What are we doing? Why is this your main?
So the profile picture is a square. So was it like wide out, or was it just screaming, and it's close up, and you just see a body behind it?
That's exactly it. You see the motion and everything, and the chicken.
Is it scary that that's like, what I would have done if that's what I was?
And it's like, what are we doing? Like, why is this the thing? Ass naked, ass out and everything. It's like, son, is your dick really in this chicken? Like, what are we doing? Like, is that the thing? Did you have to mush it in there? Or are you really excited right now?
You
like,
know what's really fucked up? Somebody ate that chicken at some point.
Some probably did. Either that or he probably just threw it away as he snapped his neck out.
I'll tell you what. You gotta admit, love that chicken from Popeye's.
Yes. There go your herbs and spices, huh?
It definitely didn't go to churches.
I couldn't fathom what would make him, like, why is that what you think? And see, oh, speaking of fucking the things that Tom Segura finds funny and ridiculous, his wife in these TikToks. Have you ever seen her in these TikToks, which just have a lane of their own, which just brings out all of the special needs people? Like, who are on this platform, who do weird shit, sir. But they got a video that he showed his mom of a dude swimming in a cesspool. And then taking, like, hair or something like that and putting it in his mouth and shit. I think that's where everybody throws up at. I've only seen it one time. But what do you think goes through somebody's head to get them to do this?
I love the internet for a lot of reasons. But I don't think people are psychologically equipped for the internet.
No.
I think you have really fucked up people who will do anything, and then you have other people who are fucked up internally who then find an outlet and go, oh,
this is where I can be myself.
Other people do this too. You know? Like, think about, like, you porn. Like, don't get me wrong, I like access to pornography.
Right.
Easy access. It ain't like it used to be where you had to go. I literally, when I was a child, would jerk off to the drawn bras on the JCPenney ads.
What? You? Yes. National Geographic, okay? Give me any type of foreign titty, nigga. That's international titties
You talking about the long titties.
Yeah! Look at that nipple. Where it's going? Who knows?
But you had to do stuff like that, which made you feel even more guilty because you
lots
were like...
of sticky pages.
Like, I know that's not what I'm supposed to be doing with this, but
this is what I like right now.
Yeah, and it's frightening, but it also feels good. Anyway,
I understand it's for the culture, but it's also to get this law, to get it out of there.
But as much as I like the fact that we don't have to do that stuff anymore, some of the shit that pops up in there, you know, like you ever find yourself like jerking off the stepmom porn, and at some point you'll go, like, say, like, thank you, mother, or something like that. You're like, no,
don't say,
come on.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be, I like it close to the line, but I don't want you to take it over the line, because that makes me feel like I'm a sicko.
They play it to the algorithm. They have more of that now, because that's what people are more looking for.
Uh-huh.
So, when the girls actually go out to do certain things, they're looking, it's so crazy, because like a porn chick, she was explaining it, and the way she explained it, she broke it down to where it's like, damn, that's fucked up, but it's like, that's where we're at now. Like, if we as a society has gotten to the point to where we're so fucked up mentally, like, this is what we need to get the fuck off. And, you know, I have this joke now where I talk about, you know, where it goes from me talking about eggs and then cum on my pants and then fucking jerking it next to the bacon, and then, you know, it's my fetish because I like the grease. Put some with a pointer finger. But
now I just want bacon.
And everybody everybody has their own fetish. You know, some people like foot porn, which is, I don't know, I don't get it. Foot porn is like, you want,
when you're talking about when they're looking at it, or when the girl, like, jerks you off with her feet?
All of it.
Because the jerks you off, whenever I see that, I'm like,
yeah, it's skip, like, where your feet been? What you been doing with your feet? I don't even give a fuck if your feet
ain't
been
even
clean.
I'll be honest with you, this might gross you out. I've sucked on toes before.
I've sucked on toes.
It ain't it's not that. It's just like, that's not friction.
I feel like
that's just rubbing weird things against it.
I feel as if my dick is amphibian skin. Like, it's just like frog skin. Like, basically it had like tree frog skin. Like, you got to keep it moist and wet. So this is what, but like, if you put your feet on it, it's going to dry it out. And it, like, I don't put your feet on my dick. Like, why would you, no. You put your feet on the floor? Don't, you know, it's so, mm-hmm. it fucks me up. And I don't give a fuck for that. But I point that out. And then the motherfuckers like foot porn, and I also started pointing out motherfuckers like watching people be fucking amputees, and that's a thing.
That, thank God, that hasn't popped up on my. Yeah, that I know it exists.
Right, that hasn't came through any of my feed yet. But what is on my feed, what they have an abundance of, lots of pregnant porn, and I'm gonna get that.
You've heard me talk about that, right?
I think I have.
Did that to me?
Ooh.
Fucking movie The Change Up with Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
That's what did that to me. Because I never had that thought in my head, and I saw that and I was like,
a little sexy.
I'm into that. I'm really into this. You know, and I started looking it up, and I don't watch a lot of it. Not that that makes it better, because I do.
I watch a good bit. I watch a good bit of it, and I don't mind it. But it also makes you think, in my mind, who is that baby for? You know, you definitely, because it's definitely not for that guy. That's right there, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always a fun thing, like, because how is this baby going to grow up? Will it grow up with a father, or will it grow up with a whole bunch of fathers?
Will it grow up with a dent in his head from all the banging?
No clue, but if you were born from a porn star, will you come out with a big dick, or will you come out with fucking the jaws of life? Like, how does that... Mm-hmm. How's that work? You know, like, do you get extra attributes? Or, you know, I'm not really sure.
I'm all for baby. Like the existence of pornography. I think we need to make it so that sex isn't taboo, but it's just going too far.
What happens to the kids?
What, the porn stars?
Yeah,
I do wonder about that, because like I don't know a lot of porn stars' names, but I know a few. Do you know Jessie Jane?
Yeah.
She's got a teenage boy, and I'm like, I think she is, but I'm just like, dude, you know, like all his, because it's not like it was 30 years ago, where you had to go looking, like literally,
it's everywhere.
Literally, some kid could just walk if just imagine for a second, think of somebody you hated in high school. Somebody who would fuck with you, like, you know, because you're not, like, super tall. Like, maybe some dude would, like, get in your face and something like that. Now, imagine that motherfucker had a mom who did porn, and you got a smartphone. What you think you're going to do? I would pull it up on my phone and walk up to him, like, there's your mama getting fucked 6 p.m. from Sundays.
Or his daddy does gay porn. He didn't know that his daddy was gay. And we're like, boom. Here's your daddy.
A lot of people in denial about that.
Your daddy got balls in his mouth.
Right, I was actually just talking about that today, because one of my best friends, he's got one of his best friends is very closeted gay, and about to marry a girl, and so they've been having a discussion, like, him and his wife, like, I mean, are we supposed to say something? This ain't gonna end well, you know.
They know, like, does she know, or
is
she?
That's the other discussion. Is like, apparently she's got like some mental health issues,
and he was like, so she don't see it.
They wonder. They don't know. He's like, honestly, he's like, they could have had that discussion. Maybe they're just gonna have like an asexual marriage.
That's always a fun game to find the ending of. It's like, ooh, how is this gonna end?
You know, I'm gonna make it sad for a second, but I told him this. I was like, well, here's the other thing. It's like, maybe these two people, like, just don't want to die alone. Because, like, honestly, I'm at that point where if I met a girl that maybe we weren't sexually attracted to each other, but she liked the same stuff, like, she wanted to travel and do stuff like that. Oh, like,
let's just hang out and be friends forever?
Yeah, like, let's just put on a ring.
I know some people like that.
You think so?
I think that's legit.
I mean, know? I don't think I'll ever do that, because I'm a sexual animal, but...
You
deviant. And I'm an animal, so I'm a goddamn sexual tyrannosaur. Yeah. But no, but I, you know, like, nobody wants to die alone, and maybe this dude, he's just like, my dad hates gay people, like, I don't, you know, like, I mean, all fucked up.
The people that have you seen the Netflix, those special needs people that find love?
Oh, the thing with the kids with Down syndrome?
Yeah. Not all of them have Downs. They have autism and stuff. Some of them
have autism. We might be talking about... I think there's one.
One they have one where they have...
No, you're right. The one on the commercial had Downs, but other people had other things.
Other people had other things.
Yeah, I haven't watched... I can't watch stuff like that.
No, it
breaks my heart.
It makes me like... I feel it mm-hmm. But I do want to see just to be like how... But then also, just because they don't feel the embarrassment, I feel like, just like they don't understand. Like I don't know what it is. It's a feeling that I can't, like, there's a barrier that I can't cross. And it's like, oh, they're all the way over there. And they're about to cross the street, but there's cars coming. They don't understand that they're in danger. Mm-hmm. So they continue, but I can't stop them and tell them because I'm behind this barrier.
Have you ever seen the movie The Other Sister? With Juliette Lewis and Giovanni Ribisi.
Well, no.
This is like a 20 some odd year old movie. It's literally about like this family that the younger sister or the middle sister, whatever she is fucking retarded. And she meets another dude who's also retarded and they fall in love. She's fighting with the mom because she's like, I want to date him, you know? And the mom's just like, A, you're my baby. B, you know, you fucking retarded. Like, you know, like they ain't no getting around it, you know? And so at the end of the movie, they get married, and you're like, this is sweet, and it's nice that the girl's telling her mother, like, I'll be okay. Like, I have to live my life. But these motherfuckers are retarded. Like they're going to live together in a house, and I'm like, I don't think this would work. I mean, maybe it does. Maybe I'm ignorant. Maybe this does happen constantly, but I just feel like, because there's different levels. Some people are just a little bit slow. But yeah. Both of these people were, like, barely functionally mentally handicapped. I know I'm using the word retarded. I'm not really making fun of retarded people. I'm just saying they were barely functional mentally handicapped people. Mm-hmm. And you're just like, how does that work? And that's why I don't like watching stuff like that. Because I'll tell you the story on here. And no, I'm not going to do it because we are from New Orleans and God forbid somebody should hear it and be like, I know that dude, but like, I knew somebody that was mentally handicapped and it broke my heart because the dude was the sweetest guy but he was just smart enough to know that he was never going to find love. Well, he did actually get a retarded girlfriend.
This is silly ass.
he did get a girlfriend eventually, but like, He knew like why women didn't want to date him. He knew why he couldn't do the career that he wanted, and it just broke your heart because he was a sweet guy. And he's like, dude, I can't watch. I don't. Some people have that strength that can be in a hospital and help people that are like disemboweled and all that. And yeah, I can't do that. I don't have that in me. My heart breaks. I don't have that strength. And God bless the people that do. Because the world needs more people that can be there and help people that need help. But I am not that guy. I'm too weak.
Yeah, I definitely. I mean, to see the show, it's just like, oh, okay. But yeah, it is difficult for me to.
At least the current commercial is a little uplifting. Because they don't like, like, you don't see like one of them like wriggling on the floor or something like that. You know, it's the little Downs girl that's just like, I'm, you know, like I'm a normal person. I'm gonna live my life, and you're like, okay, you go do that. I'm not gonna watch that show, but you do that. You know.
Yeah, it's so weird how they just. I guess people need to be aware, but
But is it awareness, or is it
feel about it?
Or is it like, cause
is it exploitation or?
It definitely, here's the thing. Like, I always think about this cause you know, like, I have my opinions on rap music. Cause I grew up with like hip hop and all that. But I always say, like, when you look at like NWA and Public Enemy who are expressing like, hey America, this is what life is like for a certain group of people that you don't know about. And I'm like, that's real and that's true. But almost every group after them was just doing it for the money.
Yeah.
You know, like, it went from being like, this is our lives, to being like, just celebrating it. Like, how many songs you heard? Like, even like, you know, people always quote Ice Cube, but like, you know, I didn't even have to use my AK. I was like, Ice Cube, you don't have an AK-47? Like, you lying. Like, you're just trying to glamorize something that you said was like a... And I'm not saying it's not a real thing. I'm not saying that those things didn't happen to him, but like, you're rich now, you know? And it's too, like, I've always felt that way. Like, even if you go with something, the first person might be, like, showing the world, like, this is what this is like. But at some point, somebody just sees, like, oh, I can make money doing that, you know? And, like, because that's not the first, like, how many, what's that channel that has all the stuff like that? Like, Little People, Little Houses? TLC. How many TLC shows had stuff like that over the years? And Greg Giraldo used to have a joke where it was just like, we're about this far away from having a show called The Floater, where they just throw like handicapped people in the water just to see if they're buoyant, you know? And it was like, you'd watch that show. And I'm like, yeah, I'd watch that show. We're so bad. Have you seen that show, The Masked Singer?
Yeah.
Well, my nanny and my cousin watched that show. And I'm just like,
love that show.
I'm just like, what the fuck is this? Like, people wear stupid costumes and famous people and they sing and I'm like,
this is very elaborate.
Yeah.
Very elaborate, dumb costumes. Yeah, I agree with you there. But I'm like, no, it's something I look over. I can't do it. But hey, everybody have fun with it. I've gotten to the point where I'm kind of just steering away from everything social. And shit. And not saying that I'm gonna do away with it. I understand it's helpful to get my brand and stuff out there. Mm-hmm. But I prefer to just old fashioned this shit and just go out there and be myself. Cause I'm not the internet. I mean, everybody can be the person that you know, a personality for the internet and shit. But at the time, I don't want to do it that way. I don't. Mm-hmm. You know, I prefer. Just to be genuine, I guess.
I'm rooting for you. I've over the last year, I kind of come to a conclusion that I'm kind of done with comedy. Mm-hmm. Like, not for me personally. Like, I actually have had the inkling to like go on stage, and I don't know what I do because like I'm very rusty when it comes to like comedy. You know, like I kind of want to get back into podcasting, just because I feel like I don't have it anymore. Like. I don't remember how to be funny, but just like we're dealing with like I've had so many comics just disappoint me over the last few years. Mm-hmm. Like you're the only one that I'm just like I want to see you make it, you know. Like, and I've always told you that, like, whatever I can do to help you, you know, because I wanna be the you know, when you have your, you know, Theo Von coming back to New Orleans to do a special.
Right.
You know, I want to be, I mean, motherfucker, I better be behind the stage. I'm just letting you know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's just...
Because if I'm in the back somewhere...
Slew of people.
if I'm on, like, third row, you know, mezzanine, I'm going to be booing your ass and throwing stuff.
No, I need somebody there to also take pictures as well.
I'm the hired help.
Yeah, you just automatically do that anyway. You're like, I'm gonna take
That's true.
Pictures. Like, okay, great.
You posted great. Pictures from that special that you recorded.
Yeah.
The other day, and I was like, shit, these pictures suck, man. Like I was like, fuck, like. But you know how that is. Like, I'm sure you see like old bits, and you just shit. Like,
oh man, that whole special that I watched all over again. I was like. Woo! These go differently now. These jokes are totally different. I've recently, did a Zoom comedy show, which with Kelly Stone. Shout out to Kelly, and she's also doing some political things where she had some candidates on there. Mm-hmm. And
same thing, same special.
Yeah. And I'm the only black guy on there, and I come on and I be myself and. Uh-huh. They were just like, hey, we just brought this show to a whole new level. Kyle says the N-word. And they had this black chick that was like, and he's the only one, all caps. And I was like, yeah, made everybody uncomfortable, didn't I? But, you know, I felt the need to push the boundaries just because and it felt good. It's been a minute since I've been back on doing something, mm-hmm. but that felt okay. I didn't get the sense of like, oh yeah, I can get good feedback from this, because yeah, maybe you can hear somebody laughing, but you don't know who's laughing or why they're laughing or what they're laughing at. You know,
what's weird though? Like you've been podcasting for what, 4 or 5 years now?
Oh no. No. This just started last year.
No.
Oh, doing podcasts.
Yeah. I understand that this podcast is new. No, not this. But you've been doing it for years now. It's like, it's weird that there's that disconnect between different mediums. Because you know how to be funny without having an audience.
Yeah.
You know that. And you know that you know that.
Yeah.
But when you got that camera in front of you, and that's the problem I have with like YouTube. When I try to do YouTube videos, I try to make it funny, but like,
it's different.
It feels that, and I, because I know I'm good on mic. I can't, I've been on mic many times. I've embarrassed other so-called stand-ups, on mic. Not a lot, and I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm just saying, like, I've definitely been in situations where I was like, dude, you need to work on this because you should be doing better than this. But you put that camera in front of me and
it's that blank feeling. That blank feeling that you're assuming that something is there when you know nothing's there, but eventually a whole bunch of shit will be there. A whole bunch of things.
Because subconsciously your brain understands. That's why when you see people argue on the internet, you try to talk to somebody and they'll treat you like you're nothing, and it's like, because in subconsciously you aren't. You're not a person when you're talking to somebody on the internet. It's just a signal. It's just like, because you grew up watching TV. How is it any, like, your brain doesn't translate that. Your brain doesn't understand, there's people there, Your brain knows, you're just looking at a signal.
Yeah.
And you, it's a weird feel. It's
a very strange feeling.
It's empty.
It's empty, but it's also, doing comedy, it's different, because once you snap into mode, then when you're on stage, all that shit's empty anyway. You don't really notice the crowd once you're going. Once you're going, until something...
Subconsciously you do.
Until something, pops you out of that mode, like a heckler or something like that, or something that you hear vaguely, then it kind of takes you out of the rhythm. But, I mean, yeah, you're always going to notice that the crowd is there, but you can zone out. You can zone out whenever, especially when I get into it, because that's what happened. I totally forgot to look at the people. Once I got into it, I was just like, boom, let's get it and go. And, just give them a little shake of the shoulder, a little shuck and jive.
Well, don't put it that way. Then it becomes a bad thing.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm the only black one on there, so it's just like, dance, monkey. And
you should have had, some Aunt Jemima syrup pouring on some pancakes right as the camera came on you.
I did have that Aunt Jemima syrup as well.
I do. I have it downstairs. I'm not getting around. I never even thought of Aunt Jemima as being black. It's just a mascot,
Yeah, but they changed it all. Man, shit. Things have taken a turn in this world. And it's just crazy to see what the other side's going to look like. I've wanted to ask, what is the... since you were younger, when did the Disney obsession start?
Depends on your perspective. You don't ever get a simple answer on
anything. I know, which I
love. I grew up with Disney movies, Little Mermaid and all that stuff. And my two favorites, though, are actually Robin Hood and Sword in the Stone.
Fox?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
love Sword in the Stone as well.
Faint Hearts Never Won Fair Maidens. and Sword in the Stone, yeah, those two. But I grew up with Disney stuff, and DuckTales. Because I can sing everything but Tailspin.
Oh, yeah?
Because Tailspin's not really, it's mostly like, do, 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 you know.
Do, do, do.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tailspin. Oh, yeah.
Okay, we ain't going to get into that, but I did. I'm starting to dance.
Tailspin.
But so I was in all that, but when it comes to when you talk about Walt Disney World and all that, That didn't come until I went to the Disney College program. Like, I went to Disneyland several times and I enjoyed it, you know, but until I joined the Disney College program, like, that was when it started. That was in 02. And, but it's mostly because, like, it was kind of me coming into my own, like, getting out of college and stuff like that. Yeah. And, like my best friend in the world and I, he lived in Harahan. I grew up in Westwego, you know, and, like, we knew people that we went, he went to elementary school with people that I went to high school with and all this stuff. And we were always, like, you know, two doors down our whole lives until we were 22 and we ended up roommates in the Disney College program. And there were other friends and I have all these memories and I have, like, really good stories. The first pleasant nickname anyone ever gave me was the Crazy Mexican. All my other nicknames were not stuff that I would repeat. But I have all these memories, like, you know, it's like the same way when you come back here from, you know, whether it's California or Texas, like, you know, you go down a corner and you're like, that's where me and such, you know, that whatever happened, you know. And with Disney, like, I have all these memories wrapped up in that place and, like, just good memories. Some of the best times of my life. And that's why
it always stuck after that, huh?
Walt Disney World's a second home to me.
I used to be a big Mickey Mouse fan. I used to have a Mickey Mouse doll that I used to sleep with. Mm-hmm. His face used to be hard, so it used to be difficult.
I got a baby. It's not Mickey Mouse, but I got a baby Eeyore from there.
Something else. That fits your personality well. It's just like very
too many people say that.
Yeah. Like,
I was like, you're depressing.
Yeah. I remember going to Disney World, Florida. Florida Disney World. Yeah, I remember going to Disney World the first time. I had my little fucking autograph book. I got my autograph book signed by Pluto, Goofy, and all the Ninja Turtles, and Mickey Mouse. And I had some Mickey Mouse.
The Ninja Turtles were there?
Yeah. Yeah, I got my shit signed by Ninja Turtles.
That's weird.
All of them. It was cool as shit. I had a good time. I had a very fun time there. I also got lost in the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. Yeah, the play place.
Mm-hmm.
Scared the shit out of my parents because I was going for hours.
They just got rid of that a couple years ago to make way for Star Wars.
Oh, did they really? A couple years ago?
That's where the Star Wars land is now.
Oh, they need to relocate. I enjoyed that place.
People don't remember that movie.
It was Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Think about it. Like, when you were going, like, when you were a kid, those movies were around.
Big impact.
They were still coming out.
Yeah.
Kids now... They don't even know who Rick Moranis is.
Oh, yeah, blow up
they ain't seen Ghostbusters or nothing, you know?
Poor Rick Moranis. He tried to fight and stay around. Yeah, I guess there's no need for him.
No, he didn't. No, he actually gave up the showbiz. His wife got, like, cancer or something like that. And he had money, so he was like, I'm just going to retire and take care of my kids. And now his kids are growing up, so now he's trying to get back into things. But no, he actually legitimately was just like, I don't need this.
I was wondering where he went. I was just like, oh, you should just give up.
Well, sometimes nice. These people, though, like, they don't give up. They're just doing movies you ain't never heard of before.
Yeah.
Then one day, like, 2 in the morning on Cinemax, you're like, oh, there's Yasmin Bleeth.
You know who has an interesting livelihood? The fucking Calkins. I've heard a few of their interviews of just them talking to certain...
You know, it's funny. Do you ever watch Red Letter Media on YouTube?
No.
Okay, that is my favorite YouTube. It's not political at all. It is Red Letter Media.
Mm-hmm.
They were most famous. They became famous because they did these in-depth Star Wars reviews of the episodes 1 through 3, and they're hilarious. And I've watched these reviews of Star Wars so many more times than I've ever seen episodes 1 through 3. You know, and actually the same can be said that their Ghostbusters 2016 review. One of the hosts got very drunk on Dan Aykroyd's Crystal Vodka. Crystal Skull Vodka. Yeah. And I've watched that many. I've never seen that whole movie altogether, but I've watched the review of Ghostbusters 2016 many times. But so they do this show called Best of the Worst, where they'll have, like, they apparently bought an entire, like, major video or something like that. It wasn't major video, but, like, entire video store.
Yeah.
So they have, like, all these, like, C and D movies that you've never would have heard of ever in your life. And so they'll choose them at random and do a marathon, watch them. And at the end of it, they review it and they're like, what was the best of the worst? And they just make fun of it as all this footage. But Macaulay Culkin, who does, you know, Bunny Ears podcast, he, I guess, contacted them one day and was just like, I love your work. Can I be on your show? So one day they're just doing the show and Macaulay Culkin just starts walking around in a robe like he slept there.
Yeah.
And it's Macaulay Culkin. I would hang out with Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah. He seems very down to earth. Something like that up where he's in a robe with, just in his drawers with the robe open. And his belly out and shit. And it says something. I don't know what it says, but I'm like, good old Macaulay, son. I grew up watching you, and I think we were around the same age.
Yeah,
so when he was doing, being Kevin McAllister, shit, hey, I was like, hey, man, that's what I would do if I got trapped in the house. I'd have a whole bunch of gadgets and shit that
I'd try. What was funny was one of the movies that they reviewed with him was Home Alone 4.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah, because after 3, it was just like, all right, this is a
big match. I don't even think... I mean, not that many people watched 3.
He had chicken pox or some shit like that. He had to stay home.
Right, but they rebooted it, I think, with 4 and 5.
4 and 5.
Yeah, there's like 5 of them.
Oh.
So the fourth one...
There's 5 Tremors as well.
The fourth one's in a cyber house where they have like all kinds of... Macaulay Culkin was like, I think they're confusing my work on Home Alone with Richie Rich.
Huh.
Because it's like a combination of the two, like the Richie Rich house. Actually, I like Richie Rich better than
Home Alone. I do like Richie Rich. Yeah, fucking, there was this, what movie I was about to mention? Damn.
Getting older.
Yeah, I am getting older. But, yeah. God damn it, that makes me want to think of the movie. Because I was just watching it. Oh, because they're rebooting a whole bunch of shit. Have you seen the new Child's Play?
No, I thought this shit looked stupid.
Like, see what they did.
Yeah, I saw that. Like, it's not a Teddy Ruxpin, but was My Buddy. My Buddy.
It was Old My Buddy, but it's digital.
Right.
It's...
So because it's digital, he can hack into like if one dude dies by a lawnmower, I was like, I don't think lawnmowers have Wi-Fi even today. Like, what does that mean, you know?
It is so different. Like, he became like an Alexa or something like that. Mm-hmm. So it got programmed to your voice and, you know, it picked up certain mannerisms and all that. And basically, it was just a failed chip.
I appreciate that they tried to do something different, but I was like, it's fucking stupid. People know too much about the internet.
Mm. Yeah. It was very gruesome ways for people to die, but, you know, it was just interesting to see. They could have did better writing as well. Like, I'm like, oh, y'all just gonna put this shit together?
Like Aubrey Plaza's first serious role or something like that?
With the chick? I don't know.
Oh, you're not familiar? You've never seen Parks and Rec?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm not, okay. I mean, no. I've seen some of it, but...
You need to watch Parks. Start with, like, season 3. You need to watch Parks and Rec. It is just silly.
Yeah.
And it's funny, like, you know me, I'm a very right-wing person.
Uh-huh.
But, like, and it's a very left-wing show. Like, Hillary Clinton's the main character. Like, what's her name that plays Leslie? Fuck, Tina Fey's best friend. The blonde.
Mm-hmm.
Can't think of the name. Don't matter. But so like Hillary Clinton's like her mentor and like so
actual
you,
Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and uh-huh. Well, not her mentor, her idol.
Hillary Clinton.
Yes, okay. Michelle Obama actually shows up on it. They have like Nancy Pelosi, I think, shows up, like other like Democrat whatever.
Yeah.
But even though they have that, like, it's not political. Like, it's just a silly show. Chris mm-hmm. Pratt is so fucking silly.
Fat Chris Pratt.
Yes, Fat Pratt.
Fat Pratt.
Mm-hmm. You would like that show. It's very.
I tried to start watching it.
Skip the first 2 seasons.
Shameless, I tried to start watching that as well. And Community, I tried to start watching that, but it's just.
Community, I can't. Community is one that, like, a lot of shows like this, and that's why what I say about Parks and Rec. A lot of shows, it takes them a while to figure out what they are.
Yeah.
And sometimes it takes them a while to, like, get past the network. Like, because, like, Community especially, like, they sold it as just, like, a regular sitcom, and it's not. My only problem with Community is, like, I don't want to rewatch it, because, like, after watching Rick and Morty and realizing, like, oh, Rick and Morty's not jokes. It doesn't have many jokes. Man. It's not, Rick and Morty's really not funny.
Rick and Morty is something
else. It's smart, but it's not funny. Mm-hmm. And I'm so afraid that, because I love Community, I'm so afraid to go watch it and realize, oh, no, there aren't any jokes in this either. Mm. You know?
You don't fuck with Rick and Morty?
Ooh, yeah. I used to like it. And then one day I was watching it and I was like, this isn't really funny. There's no jokes here. Like, and I was watching, you might remember that there's an episode where Rick and Jerry are on an adventure.
Yeah.
And Jerry's, like, getting balls slapped in his face from an alien.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And I was like,
where it's just them two that
yeah, episode. They get trapped and all that. And I'm just like, am I supposed to be laughing at this poor, sad human being who just wants his wife and children back, getting balls slapped in his face? Like, there's no joke here. It's just a funny premise. Like, somebody's like, wouldn't it be funny if Jerry had balls slapped in his face? And I started watching more of the show again, and I was like, oh, there's not a lot of, there's no joke writing. It's a very smart show.
Yeah.
It's very well done and well crafted. But it's not actually as funny as, like, it's very much, it's Big Bang Theory. Because what it's
Big Bang Theory.
Huh?
I can't do Big Bang Theory at all.
But the reason you can't do Big Bang Theory is because there aren't any jokes. It's just, it's a show that makes you feel good because you recognize the reference. Like, oh, that's a Wolverine reference or whatever. Rick and Morty's the same way, but it's like principles, you know? Like Chaos Theory or whatever. Like, yeah. Oh, I know what Chaos Theory is. Like, I'm smart. I'm a smart person. Yeah. I like smart comedies like Rick and Morty.
You do a lot of time travel.
The only joke that I ever remember offhand of Rick and Morty, there's an episode where it's like the devil came down to Rick's or something like that, and Rick is explaining to Morty, he's like the devil gave me this helmet that would have made me retarded. And Rick's like, or Morty's like, Rick, I don't think you're allowed to say that. And he's like, Morty, I'm not disparaging mentally handicapped people. I'm saying he literally gave me this helmet that would have retarded my intelligence, you know? And Morty says, I don't think it's really about that, Rick. It's just like, we're talking about a marginalized people that, for whom that, you know, that word holds a lot of meaning. He's like, well, that's fucking retarded. And I was like, that's a solid joke. That's a funny joke, you know? But that's, like, it's not a lot of joke writing. And I'm somebody who appreciates great joke writing. You know, even if it doesn't make me laugh, I love somebody who actually crafted a joke, you know? And there's too many people that don't do that anymore. It's just like, maybe I'll say something in a funny way, or maybe I'll show you something funny. There's nothing wrong with that. But, like, what happened to cleverness, you know? Like yeah. Actually, like, when you write a bit that you know, like it's not just, you know, even if it's vulgar, you know, like, do you want the punchline to just be like, niggas, or do you want it to be, even if you're using that word, you want it to be, like, actually built up and you wrote something. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
I like for people to, I like, there's certain things that I run into from time to time where I'm like, that was clever as shit. Like, my newest one is the LeVar Burton joke, uh-huh. where it's just a summary of him, where I reference him to being the Black Bob Ross, because he paints a picture with his minds, with his words, he paints uh-huh. a picture. And I'm like, basically, that's King Kunta. That's Kunta Kinte right there. He uh-huh. played Kunta Kinte. And I was like, the reason why they tried to take Kunta Kinte's ankles because they needed him running to the end of the Reading Rainbow. Because if he gets the knowledge of words and literacy from the end of the Reading Rainbow, then he's going to become a next generation nigga. And, you know, once you become a Commander Geordi LaForge, uh-huh. you know, with the Titantron across your face, you reading at all times. And, you know, I also reference him to he used to ghostwrite for Harriet Tubman. I don't know why I put that in there. I just, Just some silly shit.
It's silly.
Yeah, but you see, it also is like, oh, you've done your research.
But you're putting your thought into it, and you're not just like, because that's the thing about great comedy. Like, some movies, sometimes you watch a comedy movie, and you're like, oh, this ain't funny anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And sometimes you'll watch a comedy movie that you've seen like a dozen times, and shit's still fucking funny. Because it's not shocking. It's because somebody put something in there that was, maybe it was just super silly, but maybe it was like just, so take the guys, the Zucker brothers that used to make like Airplane and all that. Like, there's a lot of silly shit in those movies, right?
Yeah.
You know? But they had a thought process behind it. They were like, okay, we can't have two gags in one scene. So if somebody in the foreground is having a serious conversation, in the background, there'll be somebody doing some weird shit, you know, and the opposite, like you, but you can't, you know, like they actually put effort into it. And I love that. I love movies and shows and jokes that somebody sat there and wrote the shit and didn't just come up like, people think it's funny when you say motherfucker, you know, that's why the thing with the kids ain't funny anymore.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm getting. That's anymore. What I was getting at. I didn't want That's like, you can be clever without being so vulgar. Mm-hmm. And what I've recently been doing is, like, for most of the things that I've been writing, I've been trying to write it with minimal vulgarity in it. Just so, you know, I can be as disgusting as I want, but not still have to use these little trigger words that everybody's like, oh, you said the R word and shit like that, you know? So it feels good to be able to work on extra, you know, just put a little more effort into it. And yeah, I put it, the LeVar Burton, it's similar to my Miss Frizzle joke, just because the way I break things down from, oh, this person does this, but it's also like, this is one of more of my complex jokes, just because it talks about, I want to have sex with Miss Frizzle. Right.
And I don't think I've heard this joke, but I've seen you do like 3,000 jokes, so it's
I need to start sticking to some of them, because I've always just ran through shit and just like that's never a way to go, especially when, you know, it's like, oh, I had gold right there, you know. But basically, it's just like, I want to have sex with Miss Frizzle in the back of a magic school bus, while being John Malkovich inside an amoeba, watching Inner Space, playing Chris Rock's role on Osmosis Jones. So basically,
it's a series of small jokes.
Yeah, basically the complexity of it is like, oh, Inner Space and fucking being John Malkovich, which you were inside John Malkovich's brain, and then it being Miss Frizzle in the Magic School Bus. The Magic School Bus also goes inside of the human body. So
have you ever paid attention when you tell a joke to people's, because I'm curious, like, I know what Inner Space is, I've seen Inner Space, but it's a very dated reference, and I don't think a lot of people remember that movie.
They don't, but they understand, because I bring it back with Chris Rock's role from Osmosis Jones. Osmosis Jones is more of a dated reference, more of a closer reference to than Inner Space.
It's also not super popular, but
right, but once I, because that one always gets people like, what? And I'm like, yeah, it's complex. But when somebody does get all the references, it blows their fucking mind, because they're like, yo, dude, like, you, because it's layered. It's a very layered joke. And I used to put that in one of my bits as, it's like a parfait. It has layers, and that's one of them. Just from the reference of inside Inner Space, mitosis, osmosis, amoebas, fucking John Malkovich, and you know, all that. So I think that, just, I don't know where they come from and how they're there, but I'd be appreciative of the clever ones that do come about. Yeah.
Well, it's more rewarding.
Yeah.
You know, like, look, if somebody farts in the elevator, I'm probably gonna laugh.
Yeah.
But it still stinks, like, you know, like, it's still like, you know, like, whatever, it's juvenile, you know, and it's okay. Look, I love juvenile stuff, but I even love the rapper Juvenile, but I as I get older, like, I know my brain acute, my mental acuity is, like, going down. I need things that make me stop and think about stuff. Coffee with Kareem. As silly and dumb as that is,
yeah.
I appreciate it because somebody thought that out. Like, cause
yeah,
it you know, like the only Kareem that I knew as a kid was Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. He ain't around anymore. Nobody remembers Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and I don't. You seen where I live? There ain't no Kareems around here. You know, like
the littlest thing. Yeah.
You know, so it's not a name that would ever occurred to me, and somebody, and I assume Kareem isn't like a super popular name in general. You know, I guess it depends on what neighborhood you're in. Huh?
In the black community, there's a few Kareems still.
I would think more Muslim, but either way, but I'm saying like somebody had to come up with that name and actually thought went into it.
Yeah.
And that's like I have favorite comedies. Like mentioned Galaxy Quest earlier.
Yeah.
Galaxy Quest still makes me laugh because it's a well-written machine.
I went back and listened to Mitch Hedberg's specials.
Mm-hmm.
He got terrible towards the end, but like in the beginning, to say he's just a one-liner person like that. Like those are the things that I think about when because to have a mind like that, to be able to do shit like that. Like I'm just throwing bits out today. But one of my jokes about the safe cracker, you know, what do you call a white person that breaks into another white person's panic room? A safe cracker? So, yeah, when I think about shit like
that. Y'all can't see it because it ain't visual, but I got it. I'm laughing.
Right. So when I think about shit like that, I'm like, the complexity, because I remember when I thought about that shit, the complexity of that. Right there, I'm like once I was done, it felt like I fucking completed a Rubik's Cube. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh man, this is golden. I can't wait to tell it because it feels like everybody should have thought of this, but they did not, and I did. I'm the one that thought of this, so I have a goddamn Kingdom Heart key in my hand. You know,
this hey, you're speaking my language.
Yeah.
You know, but it goes to what I was saying earlier, like when I made that comment about like, do you want to be the guy that's just like. You know, and it's funny because I'm gonna twist it on its head in a second, but like that is technically a race. Nobody really gives a shit. Like, I don't know any white people who are like, you can't call me a cracker. I mean, if there is, he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Like, you know, but it is technically racist, but it's actually clever. You thought about it. And when I made a comment made earlier, it's like, you wouldn't be the guy just like those niggas, you know? But what's funny about that is that's a reference to a Dave Chappelle bit. Like from Dave Chappelle's show, with the white people that were called niggas.
Yeah.
And the reason I love that bit is because the joke is that he's finding ways to like he's just delighted to say it
to be able to say it on TV.
It's the joke isn't the word.
Morning, niggas.
Yeah, the joke isn't specifically the word. He's just so excited cleverly,
y'all gonna allow me to be able to say this on TV, especially if it deals with this. Everybody can't get it in their head just right away because it's so saturated in just being this. But if it is just a last name to somebody, it's just somebody's last name, and I gotta say it like that.
Yeah,
boom. This is how this.
It was
speak.
A clever way. Yeah. To... The fucked up part, though, is I'll be honest. When I see black people doing some ignorant shit, that's exactly what pops in my head. But the nice part about it is that it makes me laugh.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That is fun, though. That is... Because that's silly.
Because you can take shit that's vulgar or racist or whatever, and it's fine. And I think the world... Look, I'll say this, like... Black people are way too obsessed with that word, like the offensiveness of it, like what Italians did. Italians used to be called the main Guineas. Things were wops.
Wops.
Guinea is one. I've never heard a lot of that, but wops and dagos. Wops and dagos. Well, wop is without papers, mean nothing no more.
And you know the Cardi B song is called wop,
but that's W-A-P? What. But that's yeah. This is WOP, but
right.
Yeah,
because that's what it should be. WOP is WAP, like mop. WAP should be WAP, like MAP.
Right.
But they call it WAP.
Oh, and really?
Like, this doesn't make sense. That's phonetically, that's not how you say
it's
that.
It's Cardi B, though. You can't really expect.
And Meg Thee Stallion. It's very sexy. It's a very sexy video. As a child, if I was 12 and I saw that video, I would jerk it to it. That'd be a video I'd jerk it to. Back then, it was TLC for me. But this year, if I was that
back
age,
then, I'll still jerk it to TLC.
Yeah, that's true.
Not so much Left Eye, but
left eye.
Chili and
definitely Left Eye. Yeah, that
really
her the most. Yeah, I love the tomboyish.
Yeah, different taste. I like Chili and what's the I can't think of the leader's name.
T-Boz. Yeah,
yeah, I like T-Boz too.
Yeah, okay. You know, more of the
give me that red light special.
Yeah, you have more of the stronger leading role women. Instead of, because Left Eye.
Well, Chili was the talented. Chili was the one that could just sing her ass off, you know.
Left Eye was the
she's
one
the only one that's still alive,
everywhere.
Too, I think. I think
a both little T-Boz.
Is she? I thought T-Boz died.
No. She just got, I believe she just has sickle cell or something like that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I don't know where we're going with that.
Yeah, we did it to you.
We've been chasing waterfalls.
The rivers and the lakes that we're used to, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, but, you know, but WAPs, like. Like Italians, Italians call themselves. It's not even racist anymore. Just because people don't care.
Yeah, but that was one that skipped my generation. I ain't never heard about it until now. I was like guineas, like guinea pigs.
Because the only people that come because Italians don't give enough of a fuck. So the only people that call Italians those like guinea, I don't hear anymore. I never even heard that one in person. I heard that one in a movie somewhere. You know, and I was just like, never heard that. And that's the thing. It was somebody saying or something racist, and I was just like, never heard that one before, you know?
What gets me is just like, you know, I can feel the effects from it, like kike. I hear that. You don't normally hear that at all, but once I found out what it was, and then once I started, you know, once I realized, this is y'all nigga. This is that word to y'all. I gave it a little inflection to where maybe this should make me feel some type of way, but then again, it doesn't because I don't know your plight.
Thing is, you gotta recognize it's always gonna be anger and rage and racism. It ain't never gonna go away.
Yeah.
And the only thing you can affect is how you treat it.
Yeah, we always thought. I was talking to a friend. It's like Morgan Freeman had a good approach about it. It was just like, man, the only way it's gonna stop is if you stop talking about it. Just kind of stop bringing it up all together. Pretend like it was.
And he actually lived through the shit.
Yeah.
You know, because he's old as fuck.
Old as the fuck. You know, Hershey's Kisses all over.
But no, I saw that interview where the dude was like, "Don't you feel like we're being oppressed?" And I was like, "You're rich. I'm rich. What
oppression
is like, there's definitely people that look like us that are oppressed. Like, I don't think either one of us are. Uh-huh. You know? I don't know.
Real.
I just think it's all not. You can't affect how people are going to treat you. All you can affect is like how you're going to react to it.
Right.
You know, and it's just, and you see him like all kinds of people now. It ain't just black folks, all kinds of people now. Everybody's offended. Everybody's like, everybody's out to get me, you know?
Oh, there's
like,
so much of that. There's so much of that now. It's people looking for it. Mm-hmm. Cause you can just look in the system and just look up for something, your name and something bad. Fucking Bert Kreischer did it on Two Bears, One Cave. Which was just like, oh, is that easy? Mm-hmm. Is that easy to cancel somebody? Just put two words, just put the person's name and a word that you think is very offensive, put those in the search engine, and everything that popped up that might have this person saying anything similar to that, all this shit is going to pop up. All the information.
Oh,
it's like, yo.
I'm waiting for the day when all the shit that I've said comes out.
Ah.
But you know what? I don't give a fuck. Like and that's why I say stuff because I'm just like, look, you can't. Like, it's just language.
It's
just
language.
It's about and then people like all this gotcha shit. It's just and that's why. And I hate when comedians. That's the thing that I hate most about comedians these days. I'm seeing more and more comedians are down with this shit. Like just like censorship and like canceling people. And I'm like, the fuck are you doing? Like you're supposed to be. You're the antidote to that. That's supposed to be what you're doing.
I don't want to see comedians being. That like, all right, there's certain things that I understand that certain people like the people that blatantly just come out because there's ways to do it, especially if you're going to be vulgar and you just like we've been speaking about this the whole time. There's certain ways to do it. Just don't come out and be blatant with the shit. Like if you're going to say a rape joke, make that shit funny, because other than that, like if you're going to bring nigga out there, like I heard Tony Robbins talking about this with Greg Fitzsimmons. If you gonna say nigga or something like that, bitch, you better make it funny. Or you gonna have a lot of people hating you. Mm-hmm. Don't just come out there just saying it because you want to say it. Mm-hmm. Like, if you want to say it, motherfucker, make it funny, because some people won't care. Some people allow you to do it because, boom, that was clever. Mm-hmm. Other people will probably get butthurt because, boom, they still back in the past and they can't let shit go. Words are just words. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people don't understand that. Like, don't just come out saying vulgar shit just to be saying it. Like, fucking put a spin on it.
But
like,
here's the thing. Even
Night Shyamalan that shit, you know?
Here's the thing. You're absolutely, because the one thing that is unforgivable in comedy is not being funny. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing that no one will forgive. Like, success is rewarded, failure, you going down.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, it's like, it ain't always, like, you, even if you put the old college try in it, it ain't always going to work out. But you also have to recognize, like, what is this person's intent? You know? Because, like, all this gotcha shit, like, just recognize that, like, you know, like, everything I've ever said, whether I said it shockingly, or I put a clever spin on it, everything I've ever said is a joke. And I usually even mention it afterwards, like, clearly I'm joking, you know, because you gotta say it, because some people do take shit seriously, you know. Right. But I could still be, you know, black depersoned over shit, you know. But like, what is my intent? And you know, and
some people really don't get it. Some people think that's what comedy is about. Sound like the people, a lot of motherfuckers that I met out in L.A., which is like, I get to see the dynamics and the certain characteristics of different states. Now, they have their pocket of people that act the same way. And out in L.A., there's a lot of motherfuckers that out there that are just like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to say this just to be shocking, just to see if I can get some recognition. That's what comedy's about, right? Mm. To be shocking, you know, to be out there. And I'm like, oh, you in it for the wrong thing, son. You're going to get your head beat in. You keep talking this shit like that. It's like, that's not what it's about, man. And if that's what you think it's about, you need to stop right now, because you ain't going to get nowhere. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get nowhere besides butt hurt, because a lot of people will ostracize you. And you're not working on shit.
I'll tie it all in with this, and I think, because I was thinking about this when you asked me to be on the show, because like, I didn't know what you wanted to talk about. And I was, you know, I've been very interested.
Shit. I said, whatever, we be shooting the shit.
No, I figured that much, but I, you know. But just in case you needed me to come up with, I don't know. You know, but I was thinking about this morning because I was listening to the End of the World podcast from 2016.
Oh, okay.
You've heard that one, right?
I believe I have.
That's the one where they're doing election results, and Bill Burr's just fucking body slamming people.
Yeah. And Bert's on there, and
he takes his shirt off as usual.
And I think somebody gets shitted on. That's when
there was a few people, because they had some female comics
on
there.
Yeah, that's when old girl went at it.
Sarah Colonna. I want to say.
I forget.
Says somebody you never heard, but Sarah Tiana was definitely one. She was the main one.
Yeah.
And
Aaron Burr went at it.
And well, because Bill Burr's just like it was so
staunch,
and it's not even political. It's just him looking at people and being like, "Shut the fuck up. You don't know shit about shit. You're an ordinary person. You just have a microphone so people fucking listen to you. But, like, you're shitting on regular people." And that's the worst thing about 2020 and lockdowns and shit is, like, I so want them to do that again, because I want to see Bill Burr just slaughter motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
But it just made me, because I was watching that this morning. And the reason I was watching it wasn't because of politics. It's because, like I was telling you earlier, Rogan's catalog is probably going to be taken down by the end of the year. So anything really good that I wanted to listen to, or I've already listened to, I'm downloading. And that was the first one. I was like, I got to get the End of the World one down. But I was thinking, like, because we've talked about this, like, who's if you had to make a Mount Rushmore of stand-ups, like, let's say currently, like, Burr's absolutely on there. I actually think Rogan belongs on there for a lot of the things he's done. But Chappelle, for many reasons, is on there.
He's moving mountains, man. The thing that he I think that's the reason why comedy is still holding on by a pinky right now, because of him.
Because there's a few guys who still, and I'm not saying anything disparaging about women, but there's no women on that level, not currently, who can, like, because, like, just think about, I'm gonna give you two examples with Chappelle. One is, when Eddie Murphy did Saturday Night Live and he was doing a speech, and Rock, Chappelle, and Tracy Morgan. And, I forgot Tracy.
And Keenan. That was that.
I'm not counting. It was him, okay. But I'm not going to count that because I'm just talking. And it's look, Keenan Thompson deserves a lot of credit because he's been funny since like all that Mighty Ducks. You know, he's been around the block. But he deserves a lot of Keenan Kel. I was more into all that, but I hear you. This is all that, but Chappelle comes out and he lights up, and Chris Rock is like, I know you can smoke on stage, and he's like, you can't.
Yeah,
and you could tell it was a genuine moment, and it was hilarious. But that is Chappelle, to a T, because he's just like, you can't do shit to me. I've had it all. I've lost it all, and I've come back, and that is comedy. That is comedy in a nutshell. As a brilliant comedian who is just unafraid of whatever you can come at him with, you know. But what I love about him, to bring it around, is I think you've definitely seen it since then. I think I talked to you before you got a chance to see it. But his speech when he won the Mark Twain Award, and he was just like talking about, like, he's like, you know, I've seen comedians do some racist ass shit and people laugh, and I'm backstage like, that motherfucking needs that shit, you know. Like, but he's like, but I don't care. Like, if you're an artist, you're a true artist, I will defend you to the death, you know, because you are practicing the truest form of art, and that is fucking comedy. And everybody who is against that, everybody who's, and I won't mention names, but I've had somebody, probably more than one person, but I always remember somebody who I respect very much, made a comment about me doing AIDS jokes and just being like, well, you've never had AIDS, maybe you shouldn't. And I'm like, dude,
jokes,
it don't matter. Like, I'm not making, I don't think it's funny that people die of AIDS. I think that's horrifying. I knew a dude who we stopped being friends before he got AIDS, but I think he died. He was a sweet guy, and I feel he was very gay. It's very gay. But I don't, that poor guy didn't deserve to die just because he liked to fuck.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't think it's funny, but, and I don't even remember the AIDS joke anymore.
I side with Patrice O'Neal whenever it comes to people being offended by certain shit like that. When he was shitting on, when he was talking to that lady, she was like, I don't think rape is funny. She was like, I know some people that, I know some jokes that, it's pretty funny. And, like, yes, I was like, I know AIDS baby is probably not the thing to be putting together in a sentence, but AIDS baby is the cutest, funniest joke that I've came up with, and I enjoy doing it.
See, all this show is doing is making me just miss seeing you on stage.
I miss
the next. Miss the stage, I'm gonna make a promise here, and it ain't gonna be immediately, but when shit opens up, as long as you give me a couch to stay on, I will go to Houston just to go watch you
for the fun night. Oh, fuck yeah. I'm definitely putting some shit together. I'm working on things, just not really working on things, but working on things, because, like, shit's there. It just needs to be dusted off. Or, like, I got a whole bunch of shit that's being set aside. It's like, oh, when the time is nigh. This is
what are you, the fucking Dark Knight? Like, yeah. You're gonna come out in a cape and a cowl?
Feel like that. I wanna.
But don't you feel like that's the nail in the coffin for all the shit that's going on this year? Is like, people don't have those outlets anymore. Like, you, like, they're stopping you from going out and just laughing at your situation.
Yeah.
You know, and people need that. Like, they need that. That's what the essence of comedy is, a release valve. And, like, and if I'm funny at all, it's because I grew up as a depressed fat kid that had no friends.
I realized that I do something that people need. People are always going to need an electrician. You're always going to need an electrician. We're the first people there when the building is being built, and we're the last people there when it's fucking almost done. And also, people are going to need comedy. People are gonna need to laugh, because with this pandemic, even though motherfuckers was like, "Hey, we gonna open these fucking shows and clubs for y'all, but we don't need it to be to capacity. We need y'all to calm the fuck down and just a few of y'all come." Yeah. But what the fuck been going on? They've been overpacking the shit out of them bitches. That's because people need it. People fiend for that shit. Yeah. They're like, "Man, I need to have some type of good time." You know, I need to watch something. Something needs to happen. I need to be entertained by much.
Especially
something.
The people that, like, lost their homes, lost their business and all that. Man. And humor is, like, something that unites us, too. Mm-hmm. Like there's very few things on that level that different people can just get together. And I've always said, like, the biggest sin that Cosby ever committed, don't misunderstand. I'm not saying it's okay that he raped, like,
Rudy,
300 women.
The pudding.
but I'm saying, like, that was such a great thing for black people to have. All those people that never met a black person in their life, all they saw him was on TV getting arrested and shit. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you got America's dad is black. Mm-hmm. You know? And now, people don't like to, they won't even air the Cosby Show, which is still funny.
I hope they still play Lil Bill. Lil Bill, the cartoon? Bill Cosby's cartoon?
I remember Fat Albert. I don't remember Lil Bill.
Oh, yeah, no. Lil Bill was a little children's cartoon.
No, I never saw that.
Yeah.
If I did, I don't remember.
I think Bill Cosby played the grandfather or something in the show.
Okay, so it was like Howie's World. What was that show?
Howie Mandel, like Bobby's World.
Bobby's World.
Yeah, with Howie Mandel. Yeah, a little bit something like that. Yeah, and they also had that little show that this dude made called the Bills or something like that, where it's just like a whole bunch of
rapists.
No.
It was Bill Cosby. Clinton and Bill Cosby.
House of Cosbys. That's what it's called. It's called House of Cosbys. And basically this man, he loved Cosby. He just wanted nothing but Cosby. So he cloned a hair from Bill Cosby. And like he made just a whole bunch of Cosbys started coming out. And so they got like, so one Cosby that just Rudy. And then they have another Cosby that just eats pudding. He's like, pudding Cosby. Shit like that. It's just fucking hilarious.
See, now I want to watch that.
Oh, I'm going to show it to you after this. It's fucking, it is silly as shit. But yeah, it just, you know, those icons that we wish wouldn't have been thrown under the bus. They still stick in the memory. You served your purpose at that time. Thank you.
But it now, you know.
Yeah,
and that's now, I always said, like, when that
you
all
still,
that shit
you
was
still you still affected people back then though. You mm-hmm. still both ways with you
right
know, in a good way and in a bad way. Mm-hmm. But still, we wouldn't have what we have today if you weren't doing that then. Mm. Thank you, sir. But also, fuck you for
that. And to be
shit.
Claire, not Claire. Did I just say Claire?
Yeah, you did say Claire.
Oh, wow. That was both a coincidence.
We're quantum
and a
leaping this shit today. And to be Claire, as soon as I'm Claire, I feel my nipples.
Which, by the way, just completely off subject, but you know how people were talking about Chadwick Boseman, like Denzel Washington was like his sponsor? You heard that story?
No.
So Chadwick Boseman, when he was in college, he went to Howard University, and he was an actor, and he was one of a few actors that were selected for this summer workshop somewhere, but he couldn't afford it, and Denzel Washington sponsored him. Oh. Apparently, when Chadwick won an award for whatever he played, whether it was, I don't know if it was Jackie Robinson or the King of Soul. I can't think of his name.
Get
on up. Yeah. I can't.
Wow.
I hate getting older.
James Brown. Christ.
I don't know what it was for, but he gave that speech, and apparently Denzel teared up. What's funny is people have been telling that story for the last week, but people leave out the part where Denzel didn't know him. He was just one of many students that he funded, paid for their summer so they could go on. And I'm not shitting on Denzel, but what they leave out is that Claire Huxtable was his teacher who called Denzel, Felicia Rashad.
Oh, shit.
Because people hate Felicia Rashad because she loved Bill Cosby because they were close friends, and she stuck up for him when all that shit was going down. Mm-hmm.
But to be clear, that's how we got to Claire.
It's just circles within circles.
Yeah, so what were you going to say? To be clear,
I was gonna say, to be clear, when you were saying thank you for what you did, yeah, you were talking about Bill being Cosby. America's dead, not for raping.
Yeah, not for raping. Not for doing that. No, we don't. We discouraged you, sir. That shouldn't be what you, man. Mm-hmm. But you know, fucking good times. All right, before we leave, I gotta ask everybody this. What Joker do you think best embodies you, or best fits your personification? Best personifies, like, you? Which Joker? Which Joker personality? Or
I'm glad you're asking me and not somebody else, because I think a lot of people would be like Joaquin Phoenix.
I knew he was gonna say that.
I think a lot of people would say that. I don't know what's on the table. Like, are we talking about specifically?
Any of them. You can have any of them. I had somebody pick Harley Quinn because she was a girl. I was like, that's awesome.
But she's not. She's her own personality. She's kind of an anti-hero at this point.
I'm not really sure the route that Harley Quinn is taking or what we're doing with this.
She still, like, robs people, but she's also, you know, she's not a bad person inside.
This is like
Venom. Like, the Joker just murders people.
Yeah.
The Joker's evil.
Yeah.
Like, Harley Quinn's just kind of somebody who wants to live her life.
Right. A free life where she can just get what she wants when she wants it, but she don't want to really.
But I guess that's a fair comment, though, even though it's not a Joker. I'm not a. I mean, I probably am a sociopath deep down, but it's got to be the comedian version, the one from Batman Animated Series, because.
Oh, okay.
Because, like I said, I'm the kind of guy that laughs at your funeral. Like, I can't. I've always defined it as I have joke Tourette's.
Yeah.
Like, I know you've seen that look on my face when something pops in my head.
Yeah.
And I know I'm not supposed to say it. Yeah. But I start to. Like a little kid that's got a pee just, like, kind of shaking in my chair. Like, gonna do it. You know?
All right. During the movie The Joker, if you haven't seen it, spoiler alerts. But when Robert De Niro. Get shot in the head. You seen it, right?
I haven't seen it.
God damn it! Why did you say anything? Do you care that I told you about that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I know he gets shot. I've heard people talk about it. Okay, mostly.
So you might not get the feeling that I get whenever I see it. But as soon as it happened, I laughed hysterically in the movie theater, and I was the only one. And I was like, oh, I have a problem. Okay.
And then people look at you like, chickeny China, the Chinese chicken?
Oh, what? Chickeny China, the Chinese chicken?
Don't act like you ain't never heard no Bare Naked Ladies.
No, I haven't heard that.
You've never heard that song?
Yeah, no, I don't think I have.
Chickeny China, the Chinese chicken? You have a Trump stick and you some stuff sticking? Watching X-Files when the light's on? Feel like Renee is on? I don't remember the whole lot. Like, you know the song. I'll play it.
So. Oh, man. Okay, but... Yeah.
I don't even... The I thought you were laughing because you recognized the song. You're like, I don't know what the fuck this nigga's saying.
I was like, Chickadee China, the Chinese chicken. Yeah.
No, that's from the same song that he says, I'm the kind of guy that laughs at a funeral.
Oh, yeah. I'm the kind of guy that laughs at Robert De Niro getting his face blown off on national TV.
I'd probably laugh at that, too.
I laughed hard.
I didn't watch it because I'm at a point where I need stuff to take my mind off of shit. I mostly want to watch, like, comedies, and I love romantic comedies.
You know? Rom-coms.
Yeah. Like, nice. It's not the only thing I watch, but, like, I like watching stuff that just takes me away from the world. Like, I can deal with the world when I got to, but I also... Like, I don't watch horror movies. Like, if it's an action movie, it better be just, like, crazy shit. I don't want to watch, you know, Black Hawk Down or something like that, something that really happened, you know? Like, so the Joker, like, I don't even think it's, I like Joaquin Phoenix.
Yeah.
I'll give you another example. The other day, Walk the Line was on, the Johnny Cash movie.
Yeah. That's a
fantastic film.
I enjoyed that movie.
I was watching the end of it, and I was like, man, I haven't seen this movie in a while, and I love this movie. I should rewatch it. And I saw it was on, and I was like, oh, yeah, but this movie's depressing as shit.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I don't feel like watching it.
He goes through some shit in that movie, and this is like the role he took, the route he took to play that role. There was some other movie that he played where was like, you just in your head mentally, you have to be fucked up.
Oh, he's very fucked up.
Yeah, like you can see it. To just mentally go there, and it's like you don't see nothing else but that. Mm-hmm. You were supposed to be this person, but we all know you as Joaquin Phoenix. But we don't see Joaquin Phoenix when you're this person. I don't even see the clip no more. You don't even see that shit. It's just mm-hmm. like you are. And in many actors, people that are really good at acting, you can see when they embody somebody else or when they start to pretend, you know, take over mm-hmm. that person's mannerisms. Oh, this person does like, this and acts like this.
Like, you know who fucks me up every time? Gary Oldman. I've never watched a Gary Oldman movie and been like, oh, he looks exactly like every movie, he looks completely different. Mm. When you watch in The Fifth Element versus like Bram Stoker's Dracula or whatever else, like he never looks or talks the same.
That's wild.
It's weird.
That's so strange. That's
it ain't
the
prosthetics. Thing. He just
he's got that,
and I think he's got one of those weird faces that just kind of because there's certain white dudes that you see that you're just like, they don't look specifically like anything. Yeah. Like Charlie Hunnam or somebody like that. Like, I don't know. There's just dudes that, like, you're like, oh, that's the same guy?
Yeah.
I don't know. Huh. Army Hammer. That's that guy, every time I see him, I'm like, oh, is that Army Hammer? I will never recognize you because you just don't look like anything. You're like human jello.
His first name, Army, last name Hammer?
Uh-huh. A-R-M-I-E. Oh. But it is Army Hammer, yeah. Like, Army he was supposed Hammer. To be Batman at one point.
What do you think about this new Batman, the Patton Robinson?
I'll be honest, I don't have anything against him, but when I see him, I'm like, he looks exactly like he does in Twilight.
Yeah.
Like, he don't even comb his hair. Like, what, you know.
So, like, you need to tan up a little bit. What do you think they should do with this? All right, we'll end it here. What do you think? Because
we could go on for 3 hours. We ain't seen each other in a long time. It's been very long. We went on for 3 hours. Yeah, we could go on for another three.
Yeah.
We could do our own End of the World.
What do you think? What do you think should be done with Black Panther now? Rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman.
What do I think should be done, or what do I think will be done?
Both.
What will be done is they're not going to recast him. They're going to go with the comic books, and Shuri is going to be the new Black Panther. They'll address his death, and she will take over the kingdom.
His sister?
Yep. Which, I love Letitia Wright.
Oh, I like that.
But see, I don't...
No?
I know... I mean, I think...
She'll pan to a younger crowd.
She will, but like, was what I love, the main thing that... And I really like Black Panther. I actually think it's the last, actually... I think it's the last Marvel movie that felt like people were trying. Say whatever you want, whether you liked it or hated it, the people that made that movie cared about it.
Yeah.
You felt that.
Yeah.
And I liked the movie. But my favorite part was the interaction between Chadwick Boseman and Letitia Wright. I felt like they were brother and sister. Yeah. And I liked their dynamic more than anything else in the movie. That was my favorite moments. Like, when she goes, she's like, guess what I call them? Sneakers. like, you felt like that was a genuine moment, you know, things like that. And now that he's gone, and it's just her, now it's just going to be like, oh, she's the Mary Sue. They already made a comment like, oh, she's smarter than Tony and Bruce. You know, and I'm just like, I don't know. As to what they should do, it's hard to say because, like, that motherfucker, I was actually disappointed when I found out he was American. When I heard him talking his real voice, I was like, oh, fuck. I like you. Like, you ever see that, like with a British actor? Yeah. Or an actor that does a British accent, and then they do an American accent, and then you turn out to the American, or whatever.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh. He
does it to me all the time, and I'm just like, fuck, this fucks me up. God damn it, because you do our accent so well. And it's like, bitch, you play pretending right now.
But in your head, you're like, I know who you are, and this ain't you.
Yeah, like, how do you switch from that to this? Like, it seems like it should never be able to go from, you can't be going from British to normal, and you should always talk normal. instead of talking British. It's like the rubber band effect. It's like you pull the rubber band this way, and it's always going to come back to you being this. But it seems like it should always be normal in British. Be it's like, what the fuck? But that's an accent for you.
But me up. But I like Chadwick Boseman in that role. I think I'd have a hard time watching somebody else do it.
Everybody would have a hard time.
So what they're doing is probably what they should do to a lot. My problem with it isn't that they're going to do it. My biggest problem is they probably wanted to do it before he even died. Like, I don't like this shit. I don't like race swapping. I don't like gender swapping. Mm. I don't like any of that shit. Like, I just make what you're going to make. And if you don't like the thing, if you're like, you know, like when people were mad about Iron Fist, they were like, he should be Asian. Let me tell you something. I'm Asian. Iron Fist ain't supposed to be fucking Asian. The whole point was that he was a white boy Asian. Who showed up in this society. Yeah. You know, now if you don't like that, do what they're doing now, Shang-Chi. That's all you had to do. They're making a Shang-Chi movie. Good. I hope it's a good movie.
Shang-Chi
is basically a Bruce Lee stand-in for Marvel. The two big martial artists in Marvel Comics were Iron Fist and Shang-Chi. Oh. So they have a Shang-Chi movie coming out. That's going to be like the Asian version of Black Panther, where they're like, oh, we got diversity. Everybody's Asian, but we diverse, you know? like whatever.
Black Panther, but he's Asian. Right. Nice. Okay.
It's going to be more of a martial arts film, but I don't like any of that shit. Well. And I know, like, my heart in it when I hear about these things, and you know they're not doing it because they care, they're doing it for political reasons. I don't like any of that shit.
Yeah.
But it don't really matter what I think, because I'm not, because honestly, I was kind of at the point, I may or may not see Black Widow. I might see it.
I just want to see it just for the fight scenes. Cause
I mostly want to see it for the end credits, because I know it's going to be a big end credit scene. But
at the end of the credits,
it's going to be a big one.
What's going to be next?
It's going to be a big one. They haven't said, but it's going to be a big one. But like the last few, like, I like Avengers Endgame. I actually own it. It wasn't a good movie.
It's big to say from you.
It wasn't a good movie. It was just a fun... It was badly done, but it's like there's so many good moments in it that I rewatch it.
I'm tired of people fucking with time. It's like y'all never gonna get it
right. Oh, that was so stupid.
Y'all never gonna get it right.
None of that shit made any sense.
It fucks me up, because Umbrella Academy too. It's just like...
I haven't seen that.
Oh yet. My God. Y'all are fucking with time. Like,
right.
It fucking drives me crazy. It's like, you're not supposed to do that. You can't do that. If that happens, then this is gonna happen. It's like, what are we doing? We gonna stick to the guidelines?
And that was why I had such a hard time with Endgame, because I was like, that don't make no sense. How does that work? How does that work? That he died in the beginning of the movie. How does he die at the end of the movie too? That don't make any sense, you know. But I like Guardians of the Galaxy 2, but it wasn't that great. Like, all these movies have gotten just kind of stale.
That's why I say
Black Panther was the only one where I felt like people were trying. That's why I liked it so much, because I felt like there was something in here. People cared about this. It wasn't just people just shitting out another movie. Last Spider-Man movie, like Endgame, I enjoyed. Last Spider-Man movie, fuck that shit.
Mm. Yeah, I've tried to get to the last Spider-Man movie so many times. It's just like,
I was mad when the movie ended. That movie ending like pissed me off.
I'm trying to enjoy it. I just couldn't. I was like, I can't pay attention to this. For some reason, I'm not paying attention to the...
Because it ain't that good. It's not that good. Like, it's just...
Me and my dad was trying to figure out, because all these Spider-Mans have gone like under the waistline. Everybody thinks that Tobey Maguire still is the best one. Who's the guy in the middle?
Andrew Garfield.
Ah, there you go.
Tobey Maguire wasn't the best.
No, I can't stand Tobey Maguire.
The best one, and the one that I kind of hope that one day they make a movie with him, Jake Johnson.
Jake Johnson.
That dude that played him in Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh.
He would be perfect. His voice is perfect in that movie. He looks like he could be Spider-Man. Put Jake Johnson there. Make a Jake Johnson Spider-Man film. I watched the shit out of that. But I like Tom Holland, but...
Yeah, I don't mind Tom Holland. I really just like the upgrade of the Spider-Man. Like, good. He fits his suit, because Andrew Garfield did not fit the suit. And I'm like, this makes me upset.
I like the wind. I like Andrew Garfield.
I didn't care for the Andrew. I mean, no, I liked it, but...
What I told people is this. If you take Andrew Garfield's version of Spider-Man and Tom Holland and made them...
perfect. That'd be perfect.
Because they have aspects of it. but it's not quite, you know. Tom Holland, the reason people like him more is because it's just fun.
Yes, it was very fun. That's why I enjoyed it. But I didn't like that he didn't fit his suit. That was the only thing I didn't like about it. But I do like that Spider-Man. I like that Spider-Man. He's just been forgotten about. Also, I laughed hysterically when Mary Jane hit her head.
Which movie was that?
That was the Andrew Garfield one when he went to go catch her. he shot his web. Uh-huh. And he just caught her and she.
Oh, bam. I didn't see the second one. That's what. I owned the first one.
He did have more than one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I know, but the second one looked so bad. I was like, nope.
Oh, dude.
And then when you found out, like.
Jamie
Foxx was a horrible.
Yeah, everybody gets mad at that one.
But it ain't his fault. I mean, there was so much shit in that movie. But yeah.
She hit her head hard.
And then you find out, like, Peter's dad's alive, and you're just like, what?
Oh.
The fuck you talking about? Oh, you didn't see the extra. So in the original cut of that movie, Peter's dad pops out at the end of the movie. He's like, by the way, Peter, I'm still alive.
Whoa. Why would they do that?
I don't know. And that's how we're going to end this episode.
All right, man. Until next time, everybody. Man, that has been Adam Santino, Big Papa Bear in the building. And this has been Tell Me a Joke, the guy that is chasing the dream. I've been your host of Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith. Say it like a pimp named Slick Black, Slick Back. You anywhere you want to get people to find you at?
You mentioned I'm a photographer. If you want, on Instagram, I'm at Buck_Lightning. Like Buzz Lightyear, but like more presidential.
Lightning to the rescue.
Boom.
All right, everybody. Till next time. Ha ha ha. Y'all have a good one.